water now. Yeah, so there's a bromance here that we all have to endure.
Recording in progress.
We're clashing.
Recording stopped.
Okay, make up your mind. Which is which? Okay, recording or not? All right. Okay. I've just been asked that those on the virtual platform, because this is being streamed or something like that, and you two please just make sure you are muted. For the purposes of you speaking. Let me welcome the Deputy Minister of Transport, Mazambane Twin, and the DG, here Chairperson of the Prosa Board, Board Members and the Executives, and Team AG. Good morning and welcome. Is the Minister of Human Settlements online yet, or is she concluding that other business keeps to join us on as and when she was online earlier? All right. Colleague, good morning and welcome. Robson, I'm taking off from where you came from. Oh,
My name is Zoleka. I'm the PLO to Minister. She has requested that I apologize. She's currently now addressing the sitter, the engagement, so she will join later.
Okay, that's fine.
Thank you.
Also, I'm taking off from where you left off. You should have actually carried on sharing. Since it's the new year, just to refresh everyone's mind, is that we have had several engagements now, or welcome the City of Cape Town, sorry. Several engagements with the various stakeholders who are part of the implementation protocol to relocate the informal settlements encroaching the central line. The stakeholders have been PRASA, Department of Transport, Department of Human Settlements, HDA, the Housing Development Agency, the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure, and the City of Cape Town. These informal settlements along the rail reserve have rendered PRASA incapable of continuing its commuter services and operations on the Central Line. As a committee, we have also conducted two oversight visits on the 20th of April 2023 and the 4th of July 2023 to assess the rail infrastructure at various railway stations and the progress made on the relocation of the illegal settlements there. Although progress has been made with phase one of the relocation program, Operation Tegela, which is the short-term relocation, the committee remains concerned with delays associated with phase two, and I hope our anxieties will be allayed today. A long-term relocation program, which would potentially attract more households, could legally occupy the central line if prolonged further. In the last meeting of the stakeholders on the 11th of October, the committee was advised that the contractor had been appointed on 8th September 2023 to undertake the work of Operation Bayela, and that the contract has officially taken flight on the 27th of September 2023. Overall,
recording in progress.
Implementation was reported to be targeted at 4 to 6 weeks, and the committee was also advised that the challenges in securing the immediate funding requirement of about 50 million rands for land acquisition to unlock phase two of the relocation program. Therefore, the purpose of the meeting today is to get an update from all the parties of the implementation protocol and the stakeholders of the Central Land Relocation Program on the status of Operation Bayela, as well as an update on the funding for the relocation program to be realized in society, particularly regarding the long-term relocation of affected informal settlement guys. So I just thought we should take a traverse down memory lane. And what I will do now, I'm not sure again, but it's a joint presentation. So you will advise who's presenting, and then we'll do that. But maybe let me hand over to the Deputy Minister of Transport, if there's any opening remarks you would like to make. And then I will go to the Chairperson of PRASA, and then I'll go to the City of Cape Town, and then we'll take the presentation. DM, over to your colleague, very fine. All right.
Thank you very much. Good morning to you and the colleagues on the other side of the floor. Thank you very much for that introduction, Chair. And I think it surmises most of the things that I would have loved to say. But yes, we appear here before you as a follow-up of the 11th of October, as you have clearly indicated, to give progress as to where we have gone as this joint team. And transport being the most affected, obviously, because it is PRASA's rail line that has been invaded. You can see by the representation, I have with me the Director General and the DDG. I have the Chairperson of the Board and some board members together with the Group Chief Executive Officer. And I think that on its own, Chair and members, indicates our seriousness in not only accounting to yourselves, but also to resolve this matter. The presentation that will be made obviously will give us a feedback on the phase one, which you have alluded to, Langa relocation, Philippi and Khayelitsha station, the funding, as you have already alluded to, Chairperson, will be touched on, Operation Bayela, and obviously the progress as to those appointed contractors you mentioned and what they would have done to date. And Chair, we will stand ready to engage on any other aspects that the committee might want clarity on or for us to explain ourselves further. Without further delay, Chair, I thank you for the opportunity. We are ready. We are in your hands. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Madam Chair, very much from PRASA. We'll go to the presentation.
Thank you. Good morning, honourable members of SCOPA. Thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity. As we appear before the committee, I'm pleased to state that since our last appearance, as the Chair mentioned, we have made significant gains in the work recovery on the Central Line. And much of this can be attributed to the cooperation and the stakeholder engagement that we had with the community and with all affected people. This is an important artery of passenger rail in the Western Cape, and it was very important that we could progress it. I think, Chairman, if you allow me, I would also like to thank SCOPA, because SCOPA was very instrumental in assisting us to get this project moving and to ensure that the implementation protocol was adhered to by all the parties. Without further ado, if you allow, Chair, I will allow that the operating members of the implementation protocol will continue to give us an update of where we are. But we would like to immensely thank
get the presentation.
Approximately 1,200 informal settlement shacks was relocated within that area between Yanga and Philippi in particular. What we also done with the site, honorable members, was once the site was prepared and the concrete slabs were laid, we also fenced off the site to ensure that the site is secure. So fencing was put up to protect the site in terms of the location. What was provided by the City of Cape Town were the 90 chemical toilets that were installed, and also they are being serviced on a bi-weekly, or so twice a week that they are being serviced. The city is also delivering water to the site, and I know there's some discussions currently underway around the frequency of the delivery of water through these tankers. I think it's a more frequent service is required in terms of providing water to the site. And that's one of the complaints that is coming through from the community, that a more water supply is required from that aspect. You can see from the photograph there, honorable members, just to give you a sense, that photograph in the middle gives you a sense of the scale of the site. Those are the concrete slabs that were laid. The photograph on top, you can already see some of the shacks that were moved to the site. That will show some of the progress. Now, before I move on to some more photographs of the progress and the project as it unfolded, the one thing I'm sure members have picked up, particularly towards December of last year, there were some issues that I think also found expression in the media around, let's call it, challenges or issues with the relocation from a planning point of view. Now, I thought it was very important that we just sketch that background again, Chair, because when we were last at SCOPA, and I think one of the key things that came out of there, and we were given 2 weeks to do it, honorable members, was to ensure that we get the go-ahead, and it came via Human Settlement, Department of Human Settlement, that the site is suitable for the relocation to happen. And this is in the presence of all members on the implementation protocol, on the steering committee that forms part of that process. So it's not a surprise to anybody that we are relocating to the site at Stockholm. It's part of the discussion at the steering committee. And I think why I'm giving that background, and we got the go-ahead, there was a report issued through from Human Settlement through HDA around the suitability and the inspection of the site and all of those things. But on the 19th of December, while the relocation was underway, we then had the development planning unit of the City of Cape Town that visited the site. And then there was a requirement that were then put forth that needed to happen. And what then happened here, coming out of that process, we were then issued with a contravention by the city around the relocation, that the process that is happening, to an extent that even a notice was issued to our project chief that they were facing a potential 800,000 rand fine or a 20-year jail term sentence for not following process, which I think took everyone aback in terms of the process with the implementation protocol and the steering committee and the discussions that we have had today. But nonetheless, detailed discussions happened. There were further meetings between ourselves, the city, to address this. And we also raised it with the department in particular, but the city is part of this process. The city has even delivered the toilets to the site. So there cannot be a situation where you're not aware of the relocation. And it appears, I'm saying that it seems that perhaps internally there was a lack of communication in the city. Because it's one department issuing this, it's another department that is also part of the discussion. So we're raising it, that this was, I think, and it was in the media, there were a few things that came across in December, early January. But our team has always been on top of this thing. We needed to push to make sure that we achieve it, the tight deadlines that we have got for the relocation. The discussion continued. We've also then agreed as the chief, we've appointed a town planner working closely with the HDA, and we will follow a process of submitting a planning application At the time, there was talk of a watered-down application that we were going to move forward with from the city's point of view.
IG, Bakan Anno. Colleagues, you've got our copy, right? Let's proceed. We'll just indicate the page you are on as you move until you see some of that pressure, so that we can understand the city in this upcoming.
Okay, Chair. I think it's back. So we are busy with looking through an application through the town planning processes. We appointed the town planner, working together with AGA, in complying with some of these requirements that are now there. But I think it was very unfortunate the way it unfolded, having the steering committee, each one having very clear roles and responsibilities around dealing with this matter of the relocation. But I wanted to give that background, Chair, just in terms of what has transpired, because I know it was in the media in terms of some of these aspects that we were dealing with. But the team, through our corporate real estate as well as HDA, is currently dealing with these issues. I'm moving to the next slide, Chair. So I'll have to put on the screen is not moving. I'm not sure there's a delay on the screen side. Can we just check? Because I wanted to show the photographs in terms of progress. Okay, I think it's moving. So the slides will come up now, Chair. It shows some of the progress that we have achieved with the relocation. You will see some of the photographs, if it will come up. If you've got the slide in front of you, there it is. A lot of work has gone in, Chair, in terms of the dismantling of the shack that was in the reserve. The actual work on the site itself that we were dealing with. Yes, jumping between slides here. But I'll carry on, Chair. So the photograph that we have shows the work that has been undertaken, the movement of the slab. If you can move a few slides back, if somebody else is controlling it. I'm not sure who's moving the slide. But there you can see.
There's a delay.
Okay. I'm sure we had a sense of the pictures.
You saw the pictures. Let me then. That was to show the progress that we had at Bukela. The relocation is complete. 856 of the shacks have been moved. It's fenced off. The toilets are there. There is water being serviced at the site, although the frequency needs to be increased. And generally, I think from the community side, there's been an expression of satisfaction in terms of how the process has unfolded and how they're being accommodated during the temporary relocation. Now, very importantly, honorable members, this relocation has now enabled us to continue with the work of the recovery of the central line. Importantly, on the Furway rehabilitation, we were not able to, until we did the relocation, we were not able to work in that area. We do now have Transnet through the rail network construction division that were appointed. They are working on such as we speak in that section where they are removing the rails and rebuilding the whole formation between Nyanga and Philippi. That work is underway as we speak. Significant construction work that is happening. I'm sure the honorable members will recall when we stood at Philippi Station during the site visit and we looked down that corridor, we saw the shack. That whole area is now under construction that we are dealing with. We also have the electrical work that is ongoing, replacing the overhead traction equipment. And again, with the last visit, we took the members. We started at Chris Harney Station, you will recall, where we showed we also worked from the end point back to Philippi. So that work is continuing from the OHCE rehabilitation station. The passenger station rehabilitation is ongoing in terms of the various stations on the line. And all this work, particularly between Nyanga and Philippi, where a lot of construction activities need to happen, most of that we want to complete in the month of March to ensure that significant progress has been achieved and in the ability to bring back those services on the central line. Importantly, one of the priority projects that we have got, not only here in the central line but nationally, is around our signaling work. And we've got a contractor on board, on site, dealing with the signaling recovery on the central line. One of the key inputs we got from the committee when we visited last time was around fencing and walling of the corridor. Since we last met honorable members, we have made an award of three of the walling packages, walling and fencing that will be undertaken. And importantly, part of that appointment is the section between Langa to Nyanga, which is a high-risk area in terms of theft and vandalism. So that project, we are now finalizing the contract, and the walling will commence soon on the corridor as well. So that's another key achievement since we were last on site. Moving forward, you will see again, we showed some of the work that is happening on site. That is a signaling project that you see. The photographs there of the trenching, the cables that are being laid, what we call the anti-vandalism and theft that we are placed, sort of techniques that we are rolling out. In the case of the trenches that we have got, the cables are being covered by concrete so that we protect and secure those assets. The next slide gives an indication of some of the work happening on the Purway side. This is where we've got Transnet, the rail network construction, the two photographs on the right, where they're busy cutting up and removing the rail, where we need to rebuild the formation of that corridor. What we've just shown on the left, I think we've just slipped in those slides, not particularly on Central Line, but just to share also with the committee, there's some work happening on the Stellenbosch line. That's in the vicinity of Line Dock, where we had a washaway, some heavy rains last year, that washed away part of the track. And this line, the Stellenbosch line, will also open up before the end of March. So it's another line we are recovering here in Cape Town, and we thought we'll just show significant progress that is there on that project as well. Now, Chair, this is the last slide that I'm moving towards, speaking to the long-term relocation. And as you correctly pointed out, one of the items there was on funding that was also raised that we were dealing with. In total, Chair, it was 62 million. Yes, the 50 million was for phase two, but there was also 12.5 million related to phase one. That funding agreement, in terms of the funding being made available from PRASA, but moved over to the HDA, the agreement I know has been signed from the side of HDA Human Settlements. It's now with us here. We will be dealing with it, finalizing it on process side, just the final, I call it, legal checks and balances before the agreement is signed off. But that is well underway in terms of addressing the issue that we had with funding. And that's for the 62 million, both for phase one and phase two. Just in terms of progress with phase one, with the eviction order that we've got for Langa, the members will recall that, I mean, this is, we received a fourth variation in terms of the eviction order because of the deadlines being missed with getting the relocation finalized. We do now have an extension of the eviction order that takes us through to the end of January 2025. That we can implement that eviction for the Langa area. In terms of progress with phase one, referred to as the wedge, the land use application to rezone was lodged with the city in August last year. There were some objections that we received, which HDA, together with the town planners that were appointed, is in the process of responding to. in terms of those objections that we received pertaining to the wedge to phase one. With regards to phase two, this is now dealing with the Philippi and Khayelitsha areas as well. The eviction order application has been finalized with the Cape High Court. We're just working on the time frame for that to be confirmed. And once the land is acquired for phase two, the land application will commence. It's estimated that that will take between 18 and 24 months before the services are installed on that site, Chair. So if there are colleagues from Human Settlements or HGA that want to add further, that would just a high level in terms of the long-term relocation progress, Chair. But I think importantly, the key message, at least from the central line point of view, is now we are now underway to recover the phase two of central line now that Bekela has been implemented. And Chair, we can now say confidently central line will be recovered. We are targeting already by the end of this month to have a certain section completed on the central line in terms of the construction work that are being undertaken. And we would be more than happy to again have an oversight visit from the honourable members where we can demonstrate the tangible progress that we have made on central line. Thank you very much, Chair, honourable members.
No, thank you very much, CEO, for that. I think that chip the presentation flowing. DJ, you've got a presentation. I think let's pick off where you left on each human settlements matter. You've got the presentation, colleagues. Hot copies. Yeah. All right. What did you? Proceed. Oh, and welcome to Human Technology. This is the first time we're engaging. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and to the members of the committee. Ours is an expansion really on the last two slides Brass has spoke to. And ours is to provide a greater clarity about more specifically the focus on the long-term aspects of relocation, which HDA needs to focus on and to deal with. At the outset, Chairperson and honorable members and GM as well as board members of staff and colleagues, the key issues that in terms of the operation of the relocation has happened on Brasa's own land and it's a temporary arrangement. The danger is have the people squashed up in those slabs that you see for a prolonged period of time. It's not ideal. It has always been intended to be a temporary measure, and it should be. And therefore, all the efforts geared at permanent removal or permanent relocation to the new site, the identified sites, should be dealt with expeditiously. And our concern has always been the type of support we are getting to ensure that these things are addressed as quickly as they are required. In as far as, and I would not waste time on Operation Bekela because both phase one and two has been completed. My focus would be on the issue of the long-term relocation in terms of the areas of Langa and phase two in terms of Philippi and Khayelitsha. And one needs to point out to the fact that for phase one, which is the Langa process, an 8.7 hectare land has been successfully secured. And as it is known, the public participation processes that have been alluded to have been followed. And about 900 objections have been received from residents who have been consulted. That they do not want the people located there now on the Brasa land to actually permanently relocated to where they are. A number of issues have been cited and have been raised as to this, including the fear of the devaluation of the properties of the current owners and all of that. And we are supposed to deal with all the 900 objections. And if you are looking for an extension of time to deal with, because the volume is just huge to respond to each and every one and to investigate each and every single objection that you get, you are automatically given a 20-day period, which we also deem insufficient. We have made a further request for a reasonable extension of time to deal with the objections and successfully and to answer them adequately one by one, lest that itself be utilized as a reason for not granting the application for rezoning and exempt land use as we have done. And I think therein lies the caveat, Chair, that we ought to be provided with sufficient time to respond, so that when we have adequately dealt with, we remove any possible legal obstacle to why the application cannot be successfully granted, so that then the processes HDA can then follow through with of development and servicing the land and making it ready to be habitable, and then also providing the necessary funding for ensuring that we actually do a permanent relocation by providing even the final top structures for people to then relocate to new houses. So as that is the case, that's the first part we are bringing into being in as far as this is concerned. I now challenge to take you through, and I'm on slide number 2 actually of the presentation, which provides a summary, and I will come to the issues of the money and the funding. I now want to address the issue of phase 2 in as far as CBP and Kailicha. On this one, Chair, as you may be aware, BRASA had done a draft eviction application, and as you may also be aware, we have received confirmation that by the 9th of February this year, the final application was completed. And as you know, we are now looking at the stalemate we got in as far as the negotiation for the acquisition of the alternative land. And once that we could not agree on it, a firm decision has now been made that we actually expropriate the land. It's not a popular decision to take in this regard, but it is born out of necessity where we are obviously at odds and we can't necessarily agree that we move with speed on the expropriation. We have given HDA the mandate to be the applicant for the expropriation process, but obviously they would lean upon the provisions of the Expropriation Act, and the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure is providing cover and legal support in as far as the application is to be concerned. We are seeking to utilize the public use clauses in the law to ensure that we actually move with speed. It has started the normal processes of governance approval for this decision, because I think we are already anticipating a challenge in court on this process, and we are already readying ourselves that we tick all the boxes the law requires, and that governance approvals for the decision are quite critical to ensure that we will withstand a potential future challenge to this and a review application. And to that extent, the investment committee of the HDA has already granted its own approval, and which has now gone to a board meeting scheduled, a regular board meeting scheduled for April 2024 for approval. And once we have gotten that approval, then I think we will launch the proceedings to have the land expropriated in this regard. I thought that this is important that we do that, and obviously the processes of the ministerial approval and the signing of the relevant notices will follow on a strict timetable that we have put in. We know the legislative timelines in terms of the notices, and we wish, Chair, that there was a faster process to do this, but if we are to do it right, we've got to follow all those legislative processes in this area to make sure that we are in a better position to deal with that. Let me now also deal with the other issues. The CEO has pointed out to the applications that have been made for the land use matter, and I think, yeah, the CEO has a skillful art of putting things mildly, and I think to say the least, we have frowned upon the actions of the city as far as our and the posture that was taken, because in the implementation protocol steering committee, all members, including the city, were quite okay with what we were doing and with what we have sought to do. And only for what he calls a wedge, for this big stumbling block in the way of progress had been put forth. I would have anticipated that the city would have expeditiously dealt with the matter internally and not impose it in the manner that it was. However, we are proceeding with the application as we have been told that we've got to do it, otherwise we will not make progress. But we want some timelines in terms of when this will be complete and when the applications will be granted as such. Let me now touch upon, Chair, on the issues I thought I would also raise with the committee that we are clear. The issues of funding, the CEO is correct, are finalized. We have finalized all the legal hurdles amongst ourselves in terms of the provisions of the law in how funds between votes and between this are shifted and they are moved, and all the legalities have been dealt with. We are now awaiting BRASA to do its own part, legally speaking, and to finish, but on our side, to ask the department together with the HDA, we are done with that process. We have gone through it. We have also solicited even the support of the National Treasury, and we are happy with where we are, and we believe that we are in a good space, so that shouldn't be the issue. Chair, we have also amassed from the committee the Minister of Human Settlements that last year, in August, at the beginning of August, decided that we declare an intergovernmental dispute with the city in line with the provisions of the Intergovernmental Relations Framework Act, because we believe that as the transferring party, particularly for the grant that is intended to upgrade informal settlements, that we are quite clear about if the informal settlements upgrading program grant, that we ring-fence money to ensure that this matter is a priority, because unlike other informal settlements, this one has a huge impediment on the functionality of the city. Economically, it's choking it, because the majority poor people who are housed on the central line are not able to access affordable transportation to work daily, and that it warrants a deviation from the normal process of allocation in terms of the waiting list. And we said we should prioritize this one first and foremost to ensure that we can get it out of the way and deal with the rest of the other informal settlements as such. As the chair may know, some amount of about 50 million rands, the city had taken a resolution to return it back to the treasury, which we believe that it should be doing this work. We did not agree, obviously, with the decision. The city was of the view that it actually should spend the money on its other priority informal settlements than on this one. And there we had a dispute with them about that. We wrote to the Minister of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. The provisions of the law, because they want to avoid us, government being a bitter of throats in the court, had warranted that we show cause and we have a proper record that indeed we have done everything in our power to resolve the dispute amicably. And he says that where we really can't find each other, even after direct negotiations, which is what we have done in the quarterly forum we have, and even in the special meetings we have had, and those meetings didn't yield any desired outcomes or results, and hence our action, because Section 41 of Section 1 compels that the minister should then consider the possibility, or an organ of state in a dispute should consider the possibility of having a mediator process to resolve the dispute. And this is exactly where we are before we can actually declare formally an intergovernmental dispute. To that extent, we wrote to the Minister of COPTA requesting that she appoint a mediator for us to do so and to negotiate and mediate the dispute with the city. The Director General of the Department of COPTA was appointed as such a mediator, and I then, by extension, also a permanent invitee to the steering committee meetings and also to this a formal meeting for the mediation first took place, and we have agreed on the steps, and I think our issue, our contention remains that we stick to the letter and the spirit of the implementation protocol which all parties have signed, and that that be respected, and I think it will take us a bit far if we stick by what has been agreed about. So to that extent, we are hoping that the mediation does yield results, although in the intervening period, the money was surrendered back to the Treasury, and we do have a remittance advice from the city that we can share with the committee that indeed confirms that this unfortunate event has indeed occurred. So, Chair, given that, I think those are the three pieces of land or parcels of land we are looking for relocation in the long term, and how we are dealing with each one and our approach to each, and how we are seeking to use all the mechanisms at law to ensure that we smoothen the process of making it faster, that the people are not squashed and stay there for a longer period than it is necessary. Thank you very much.
All right, and thank you very much, DG. We welcome the CM of the City of Cape Town, and I will now hand over to him if there's any comments that you would like to make, and then we'll go to questions. But also, we'll be first of all to stand by. DM, good morning, welcome, and over to you.
Chair, good morning to you, and good morning to the committee. Chair, just with your permission, Chair, I am allowed to ask clarity questions on certain comments we made earlier. Just to understand, because it will inform my response. Thank you, Chair. Just the issue around, the previous speaker spoke about Stock Road, that there was an understanding that it's a temporary measure. The clarity required would be what is understood as a temporary measure, Chair. But I'm happy to proceed with my other remarks if you'd like to do so, or we can take the clarity now, Chair, with your permission.
I think that the DM of Transport says I must not say DM, so Deputy Mayor, because it's too many acronyms, so Deputy Mayor. I think the major issue, the issue is this, right? On 19 December 2023, whilst the relocation was underway, the development planning units of the Cape Town Municipality visited the site at Stock Road, where Operation Bayela was being implemented, and cited that a land use application to rezone is required. based on the outstanding rezoning application, the city issued a contravention notice to PRASA on 22 December 2023, citing unlawful conduct with the implementation of land use without seeking prior approvals for the specific use of the land, and the notice contained a potential fine of 800,000 rand or 20 years jail term that could be enforced. I think this one is important. Although several meetings were held with the city prior to the contravention notice issued on 22 December to confirm that city management is aware of the process followed to use the site for the temporary relocation, it seems that internally the city's development planning department was not informed about Operation Pegela and hence the action. So that's the issue. The presentation could be, hard copy could be made available to Deputy Mayor of the City of Cape Town. So the issues you hear have been raised are in that context, in that as part of the implementation protocol, you would have been privy and part and parcel of the processes unfolding, and then, to use the words of the CEO, or took everybody aback when then on the 22nd of December 2023 an eviction notice was issued. That's the issue. I think I've captured it correctly, colleagues. Right, over to you, Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not too concerned about the acronyms, because as spheres of government, we are all in this together, but I'm happy if you want to call me Deputy Mayor. Chair, we have a scenario in the Philippi Wedge where we are aware when there's development proposed, any parcel of land, that we are clear that as the regulator, what framework or legislation we have to comply with, and there has to be a rezoning, and there has to be then subsequent to that, there has to be a building plan application. That's the process that we've undertaken now in the Philippi Wedge. And the previous speaker alluded to the fact that just over 900 comments have been received, and they have asked for an extension, was granted until the 28th of February, and they have already made their submissions within that time period. So that's the process with regards to land use and building, and I appreciate the comment that the previous speaker made when talking about the expropriation of land for the other sites, and I quote, we have to tick all the boxes that the legislation and the law requires. So against that backdrop, Chair, the same applies for Stockrand. It's a new site. It is land that is inappropriately zoned. And of course, there must be a rezoning application, and there must be a plan submitted to council. And so that is where we find ourselves at Stockrand. So as a partner, as an IP partner, our absolute commitment, and this remains the case, Chairperson, when we attend those recurring interactions with the other organs of states, we always offer a pre-engagement and saying, before you proceed, let us know so we can guide you what is required, so we don't come, well, in this context, to SCOPA, and the feedback we give seems that we are at odds with each other with regards to how our understanding is of a respective process, whether it be complying with the national building regulations, whether complying with the municipal planning bylaw. Those are all legislation that we have to comply with, all three spheres of government share. And that is why when we interact and we engage, that's often what we are saying. We are saying, please be mindful of that, and so that we can, when there's an application system, we will expedite that particular application so that our team is aware and sensitized to the urgency of the application. So this particular Stockrand site is a different district, so we have engaged with the different district there as well, Chairperson. So Chair, so that is the process, and I think the matter about the funds that have been reallocated, we dealt with that matter a couple, I think two SCOPA meetings ago, so I don't think it's necessary for me to respond to why the funds are relocated, or returned rather. I think we dealt with that particular issue. But to comment or to respond to the Stock Road site chairperson, that is the process. That is, it's a new site. It should be required, a land use application should be required, unlike the other sites where there's been infill and there's spare capacity in those settlements. Those ones don't require an application of any sort, Chair, because it's an existing informal settlement and there's spare capacity there. But the Stock Road site, as we all are aware of, is that it's a new site and, of course, it requires a land use application. But having said that, Chair, I think we've also been, there was a request for the increase of the deployment of the water tankers. I think we note that, and there's most certainly something that we are fairly comfortable with. Currently they are receiving water twice a week, and we've engaged with our water and sanitation department to increase that to 3 days a week, Chairperson. And the other issue has been in terms of waste. Will be responded to by Urban Waste Management Department. We will have necessary measures in place to collect the waste for those residing on the Stock Road site, Chairperson. So, Chair, just in terms of, those are my comments with regards to the Stock Road site. And if you would indulge me, Chair, just to understand, because when you talk to the municipal sphere of government and you talk about housing accommodation, we're mindful of what our bylaws say, Section 68 and Section 69, and I think we've also dealt with that at SCOPA, you know, responding to the question, does this qualify as emergency as well? So I think that doesn't require a further response there, but this is a new application for a new site, and it's treated exactly the same the way we are treating the application for the Philippi Wedge, a Chairperson. Those are just my response to the remarks made earlier, Chair. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you. I'm trying to go back to a previous conversation on this matter. The communication protocol, which our assumption, our expectation is that by being signatories to the implementation protocol, all these issues, technical, speculative, legal and otherwise, bylaws and so on, would be ventilated there. I think I'm still not sure as to whether we are committed to the commitments of the implementation protocol. That I'm grappling within my head, but I think when we engage, maybe colleagues will expand on it further, because I think the issue, Deputy Mayor, that's been raised was having been party and being party to the implementation protocol as the city, whilst we everything must be done within the parameters of the law, and we fully support that and uphold that, the expectation is that the issues which were raised at the site visit by the city would have been raised at the implementation protocol. So now when there's a contravention notice with potential fines and arrests, I'm not sure, because is the city now issuing a notice on itself as part of the IP, the 800,000 rand fine and imprisonment, is that for the city as well? I think that's the clarity we require, Deputy. Were these matters not for discussion and engagement at the implementation protocol meeting, for them now to be raised outside and in the manner in which they were? I think that clarity is important. If you can give us that, and perhaps some of you can come in. I just want to get a sense of the thinking of the city on that, because this thing has stuck with us for quite a while. If you look at the Human Settlements Department's presentation, the longer phase will be funded in 2024-25. Yeah. So we are still in this together for quite a while. We saw him, and then we will have to just stand by the Deputy Mayor and just take note of the things in the clarify on this. But when I come in the line this way, sending out my Zambian, Babu here will come down this way. Babu Sonny, over to you.
Well, thank you much, Robert Chafferson, morning to the Deputy Minister, the DGs, the Chair of RASA, the CEO, officials, the Deputy Mayor of the City of Cape Town. I'm taken aback myself. And clearly the Deputy of the Mayor is getting to the ground, which they themselves got out of it. One, based on practice that they have had to show cause to support the relocation. The statement of the mayor at the time, who was part of the meeting, was firmly on full support of the process. The exception on record in the meeting on that matter was brought in by the Minister of Human Settlement, who insisted that the suitability of the site must be ascertained before any processes taking place. And through that exercise of information, the HDA was assigned the responsibility on record to follow that through. So what the Deputy Mayor is telling us is far-fetched. It's purely getting on stalling the processes out there, something which you can't allow. As we stand firmly on the ground, there were two members, officials from the development and planning on that day, who were sitting at the corner of the house, who were vocal on the plan in relation to the acquisition of land, not the temporal settlement. And so the emphasis by the DG of Human Settlements on the temporal nature of the settlement, having it to allow the full-blown process for planning. We went into the city's requirement based on the bylaw on the day where we had to clarify the difference which you carried in their own bylaws to support the actual intervening requirement for settlement in a temporal nature and the matters of emergency. So that was outlined quite appropriately in the meeting. Now that they're getting back into that, it's really on the stalling route, which I don't think is acceptable. One, I think we must appreciate the stance taken by the mayor of the city to support the actual settlement through ensuring that basic services are somewhat carried through what we see, and the urge that water forming part of that should as well be seen to be delivered in the area. If I'm not mistaken, the same individuals who were part of the planning division in the city are in this meeting. And if they are in this meeting, in terms of the record which we carry, is the record when they were clarifying the very same matters. So can't be taken back into such. We are not here to play. We are here to take serious the issues that relate to our own communities, and as well to assist the city functionality in terms of the transport system. And that rail line should be somewhat captured for its own functionality as a commitment for both the city and the Department of Transport. Our own assistance has been based to the effect that no money should be lost because of our lackluster implementation scenarios. So I stand here to say, having chaired the committee at the period when we had such finalized agreements, such statements, such commitments, what the deputy mayor is coming up with is far-fetched.
Thank you very much. Honorable Hadebe, we'll just come in the line. I won't come in. Honorable Mandewin is done. Just come in.
Thank you, Chair. I think I'd like to request that this question be responded to by the Deputy Mayor before we proceed. So that we don't lose.
Which one?
The one that Honorable Sonia spoke to. Because I also want to ask the very same question, Chair.
Let's do this. Let's conclude on this matter of the element or aspect of the city of Cape Town. Yeah. And then proceed to other matters.
Yes.
So that we just run the same page. And so I'm assuming colleagues are wanting to deal with that first. We'll
yes.
come back to other issues. So yes, at the very least, we have an understanding of the city's perspective.
Exactly.
Vis-a-vis the issues that have been raised by PRASPA and so just raise your issues, confine them to that, and all the colleagues will do the same, and then we'll come back to other issues.
No, thank you, Chair. I'm really interested to get the response, because on the day of the meeting, as Honorable Sonia has correctly pointed out, the only department that had a problem with giving a go-ahead with Operation Begel was the National Department of Human Settlement. The minister, she was very vehemently opposing to the relocation prior assessment could be done. On the day, I even asked for an adjournment and called all three ministers outside to understand exactly what is happening. And we found one another, we came back to the meeting, we agreed on the way forward. When it was time to decide on who should do the assessment, there were two options, whether the city will do the assessment or HDA. We put it to the meeting, and then the city said they don't have a problem with HDA conducting the assessment. We asked for how long will the assessment take, can it be done concurrent with other services. The city committed in the meeting that all basic services will be provided. The mayor said they are fully supporting Operation Begel, 100%. None of what the deputy mayor is raising was raised in the meeting. We asked specifically, is everything in place to get Operation Begela concluded? They said yes. It's clear and evident, even for anyone to see, that the city is deliberately sabotaging this. Every time you go with the same understanding, you come back, there's something else. It can't continue like this. That matter that the deputy mayor is raising ought to have been raised in that meeting. It's not a new discovery. Like when Jan van Riebeeck came to the country and discovered land and gold. No, it's not a discovery. They knew. They are well vested on processes that ought to unfold when certain matters are to be undertaken. Can we be taken seriously for the sake of people who've lost their lives in that site? How many more lives should we lose before the city takes this matter seriously? We cannot tolerate this attitude. It is uncalled for. They must tell us now whether or not they are committed in implementing this implementation process. They are signatories. It's exactly why I insisted, Chair, that in these meetings, can we have the signatories to this implementation protocol so that we hold them accountable. Thank you.
That is correct. Okay. No, thank you very much, Chair. I think it was the request which Becky made for them to answer that particular question so that we are able to also move forward and ask questions on the other departments. I think that is hit to it, because at this point, that's a very sensitive matter which is going to make us all ask the same question.
I just wanted to make sure members ventilate themselves in this aspect irrelevant. So we'll come to that.
No, that is fine. There have been two aspects which the city of Cape Town has been highlighting throughout this particular engagement. And it's very worrisome, because as much as at some point we found each other, even in the meeting which we were referring to, where we had an adjournment, there were two very much undertone problematic statement that the city of Cape Town was making. One being that they have other priorities other than this particular priority that we're dealing with, which is an emergency. And not that it's only an emergency, but to clear a railway line so that the entire society of Cape Town can link with each other in terms of transport. And you could pick up the attitude that we don't care about what you're talking about. That has been from day one out. And that, for me, it's no surprise that they can hold a program which is at an advanced stage with such attitude and threat. Then number two, we know politically the city of Cape Town has had ambitions and intentions of taking over the railway line. And now this is part of the reasons why we must be halted and sent from pillar to post on things that we have all agreed on. But then the ball comes back. Hence I was requesting to you, Chair, that let them answer so that we know where we're going. Because we have made such a huge improvement and an impact, and we're moving swiftly. But then we get threatened with laws, court orders, and whatnot. No one seated here doesn't know there are laws in this country to deal with whatever matter we have to deal with. But at the same time, we're not going to be seated here and be consumed with the matters of people's ambitions. Because the ambition of the city of Cape Town is that they want to take over the railway. The issue that the priority is not those people, the priority is their informal settlement, is not here, neither there. Because this is a special project which does not impact anyhow the plans of the city of Cape Town. This has a special allocation of budget. This has a special allocation of officials and everyone. You hear the DG at pain trying to explain how they must now try to strengthen the office in order to make sure they respond to rezoning matters that are there, because that's not what they have been planning for. So But because this particular matter is such of importance and it's an emergency, now they have to restructure, take people from this point to that point so that this particular matter is adhered to. But the city of Cape Town does not have the same understanding. In fact, it doesn't wish for this to happen. Only if it's done by them and it's done at their own pace and it's done through their own system. The system of working together is not what they are intending to adhere to. And that's what we need to know today is the city of Cape Town coming on board, yes or no? That's the only answer we need from them, so that the departments know what to do, so that they can go back to their legal departments in order to clear whatever legal matter that is standing on the way. We need a yes or no. Are they on board, yes or no? That's it. Thank you.
Hey, greetings, Chairperson. Am I audible? Greetings to the meeting. I think we don't see this thing as if you are repeating the same thing. I think the city of Cape Town is actually in the center of playing some tactics, delaying tactics in this whole project. One major issue that you are facing with is the issue of water, which is basic services, where communities in that area who are refusing to actually move from that area. They cited the issue of water, that they haven't had water since last year, the 27th of December, and yet the deputy minister here, I mean rather the mayor, is telling us that every week they are actually supplying a tank of water there twice, of which even that tank of water, I don't think that water is even enough for those people to utilize such water. So I think there's an issue there that we need to intervene in regards to the how the city of Cape Town is actually dealing with this matter. Chairperson, I even suggest that maybe we should put a time where we can actually go there in person and do an oversight visit to actually see what is really happening there. We see the progress in terms of the relocation that has taken place, but seemingly there's still issues that need to be addressed. And number two, Chair, I just want to also check on the issue of the relocation. What was the approach regarding the school children where they had to be moved from that area to the new area where they are?
Not getting to those substantives now. The issue we are dealing with is on the city of Cape Town matter,
okay,
and the implementation protocol.
Yeah,
we'll come to those.
Okay, and then the last question that I have, Chair, is the issue of the objections. I hear that there was a participation that was done on the issue of the use of that land. Now, what I want to know, out of the 900 objections that were being told here, how many people were in support of the whole initiative? Because I hear now there's an issue of the 900 objections that they must respond to, of which now they actually requesting an extension to deal with that matter. So I want to know whether that 900 objection that you received actually holds water in this process. Those are my two questions.
Mazamba, say Shinji, that and that in that thing of like eight modern half the parliament's been down and it's for the intention. Mr. Chairman, and thank you and good morning to everyone. As a great deal has been said this morning about an issue which seems not to be an issue at all, because as I understand the people who were living on the railway line have been moved. The project is proceeding at great speed. There is no prevention of the project, and that's why the people had to be moved. And the CEO is nodding his head. So, and I would, Mr. Chairman, I'm just going to have a little anecdote before I proceed. On Sunday afternoon, I addressed a meeting in Langkloof. Now, that might sound like a suburb of Pretoria, but it's actually a rural settlement in Upper Flanders. Highly populated, not as dense as these settlements, but Mr. Chairman, they don't get any water at all. Not twice a week. Not at all. The tankers, they promised, never get there. They just don't go there.
Now there's a water project apparently on in the, you see the trenches, and so people on the other side of the road are going to have pipes in the ground, but still no water. The people in Ward 7 at the bottom of the valley had pipes in the ground for the last 10 years. They still haven't got water. So I commend the city of Cape Town for giving at least two, and I would urge them to give more. I think two is too little. But at least they committed to it. The toilets are there. There are no toilets in Langsor. Not one. People go and do it where they do it. Or they make their own arrangements. So I don't know that 90 toilets is enough for 1,000 whatever homesteads that have been moved. Maybe the city needs to improve on that. But the fact is, there are toilets. There is water. Mr. Chairman, I think that we're spending our time talking about something which is really not an issue that we should be focusing on. We should be focusing on the railway line and when it will be fixed. And what I hear the CEO saying is that, in fact, it's going well. And I commend Prosser for that. I'm not a fan of Prosser, as you know. I have my own views about the history there. But I don't think that we can fault what's happening on the central line from the Prosser point of view at the moment. I think it's great. So, Mr. Chairman, if we're going to focus on the city of Cape Town implementing the law and the bylaws, well, it's not holding up the project. The rail line's going ahead. Services to Khayelitsha, I hope, will be in place before mid-year, perhaps before the election, CEO. That would get a few votes for some people, because I think that's what this is all about, really. So, Mr. Chairman, the focus on the City of Council, I would agree that it's better to have talked about things before issuing notices. Perhaps those talks did take place. Perhaps the Deputy Mayor can tell us that they failed to get the process started.
Honourable Cullen, don't you prevail on you to desist
from
the Honourable Cullen.
Oh, okay.
In the spirit of how we conduct business here. Right, Honourable Liz, proceed.
Mr. Chairman, my apologies. I thought you were going to get this. I mean, I've got to... I'm trying to put the So, Mr. Chairman, I think that the Deputy Mayor can answer for himself. But I think if we focus on a process that has to take place in terms of the law, which is not preventing the construction or reconstruction of the railway line, then so be it. Let it happen. Get on with it, Department of Human Settlements, whoever's doing it. I don't know who's in charge of it. And I don't really want to know. I want it to happen. And I want it to happen quickly. And if the city is delaying it, then Deputy Mayor Eddie, get on with it. Get it done. No more excuses. Whether you want to take over the railway line or not, well, that's some politics involved, and we won't. It doesn't affect us in Scopa. And
I haven't finished what I'm saying. This is going to be a heated political debate, and the door is opened by ourselves.
Yeah.
If you want to respond to what has been said, you raise your hand, and I give an opportunity to do so. It's not a problem. But fundamentally, let's not talk to ourselves.
Thank you, Mr.
Let's deal with the issues at hand.
And Mr. Chairman, I think you're absolutely right. The issues at hand revolve around a railway line, which Prosser were completely delinquent about protecting during the advent of COVID, and we need to get it back up and running again. And that is happening. That is happening, as I understand it. CEO, I think that you and your team are doing a great job there. I really do. under very difficult circumstances.
Let's be focused. I think let's not be the one to derail ourselves for lack of a better phrase. And yes, there's going to be a variance of views on it and perspectives. Let's not get lost in the moment. The issues are important and serious. Let's handle them as such. Honorable Liz.
Mr. Chairman, I think I've made the point that the reason this committee is dealing with this subject is to try and help all the rail players, particularly Prasa, get this railway line running so that the services can be provided and so that the economy can benefit from it. As the Director General has said, I think everyone's on the same page. The city of Cape Town may need to improve its services on the site, but there's no urgency in terms of the relocation of people. People have already been relocated, and so the process must follow the legal process, and hopefully as quickly as possible, and all the rail players must talk to each other and get it done. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much for that. Right, Deputy Mayor, I'll just come to you to conclude on this matter and deal with the issues at hand.
Chair, thank you so much. I think it's also useful to reflect on the contextual realities. We must not confuse the provision of basic services with a land use contravention. I think that's the point. And I want to again reiterate the point that those plus minus 900 structures are already there. So we are now asking for an application to regularize what's happening there, to ensure that we tick all the legal boxes as prescribed in law. And two scope of meetings ago, I made this request, Chair, as a magic wand that you are able to give me. I'm more than happy to wave that magic wand and to circumvent legislation. But we must not confuse the provision of basic services to a land use contravention. And so the notice that was served, Chair, is a sort of a standard notice to a contravention of that nature. And Chair, the question that was asked, have we picked up the phone and called somebody? And the answer is yes. As soon as we became aware, I've asked one of our team members who are part of the recurring interactions, can you please reach out to the colleagues and sensitizing the fact that the land use application is required. And so we have picked up the phone before any notice was served. But as soon as there are clarity sought with regards to any alleged contravention, then we have to investigate and then act as prescribed in law. Chair, and then also Thank you, Chair. Chair, we gladly provide that response to the committee in writing. Thank you, Chair. Most certainly I can consult my phone and I can provide the dates to you if you allow me the opportunity to do so. Chair, the other point that you requested at a couple of meetings ago, that when we come and present an update to SCOPA, that we have a consolidated presentation. And I'd ask, Chair, that we perhaps just be mindful of your request, because that request was made at the back of when we respond truthfully to clarity sought, we don't want the committee to misinterpret the responses as passing the buck or playing the blame game, Chair. So I just with regards to that, and then with regards to the, I made the comment about the basic services. I think those services are being delivered, and we must not confuse the land use contravention to the delivery of basic services. And throughout that consultation interactions we've had with all the colleagues, there was a request in the reminding the team to consult with the local planning office, of course, who will process the application, and that was not done, hence the notice was served. The comment, Chair, with regards to, I don't know the context to it, but there were comments made about the city's not prioritizing this, it's not an emergency, and do not want to assist. That's absolutely not true. The fact that we had a signatory to the IP confirms our absolute commitment to removing the occupiers on the rail structure to sites where they can move to. Chair, then I've got three more points here that I need to make a note of. With regards to the, I think the railway line and the city's undermining the Operation Bakela's efforts because we want to take over rail, I think that has been responded to, but again, just to emphasize the point, it's a complete misrepresentation of the reality, and it's simply not true. And then also the point about, well, again, our commitment to the IP, that is true. We are still absolute committed, hence we discipline attending all those meetings, even though some of them have been cancelled. We'll be there, and we are have a seat at the table. And the water tankers are not there. Perhaps the honourable member can confirm a date or, you know, what has happened, because when you find the water tanker, it is there at twice a week at a particular time. And so in the event that it's not there, we need to understand why have they not received water, and I'll gladly investigate it further with our water colleagues. A very important point that was raised in terms of the objectives. So just to confirm, this would be regarding Chairperson, the Philippi wedge site, and what I've confirmed they've responded, they've extended the commenting or the response by the applicant until the 28th of February, but the clarity sought by the Honourable Member, will the comments hold water? And Chair, this is an independent process. So there's an independent committee chaired by an independent person, the Municipal Planning Tribunal, as prescribed within legislation, and they will, of course, formally pronounce on the application. So I can't preempt the outcome of a committee that I'm a part of, but certainly that's the process. But to further add, Chair, in the event that there's any stakeholder feels aggrieved by the decision that committee made, then they can be appealed, be lodged, and the appeal goes to the appeals authority, and the executive mayor, as prescribed in legislation, would be the appeals authority chairperson. Chair, just some responses to the to the remarks made, and if you'd allow me, I just want to check my phone for those dates from the chairperson.
The indication of the statements in the presentation and the ad-libbed comments there about this, they were not taken aback by the decision.
Right. Now, if you say then you, and this is why I was coming the members down, because I want to follow up on it. If you say you made contact, the question then becomes, to whom was the contact made, what was said, and what was the response. So we need to do like sort of a timeline of that, so that then we deal with this notion of this decision taking everyone aback, because the assumption of the comment stands that, and as a statement of fact, actually, as said 3 meetings ago, is that these issues, as per the provisions of the IP, which provide for a dispute resolution mechanism, and if there's a contravention, for it to arrive to a point that a notice is issued, including but not limited to threats of fines and imprisonment, how does it arise that everyone is taken aback? That's the issue. So I think we need to clarify as they would get who was spoken to, so that they can tell us why they did not respond positively to the issues that the city was raising on that key element which would bring this up. Because I want to put it firmly on the table. I detest the notion of this us and them within the IP. I don't think it's correct. You have committed yourself to the IP to facilitate it within the parameters of the law as a team. So we can't have a stumbling block every now and again with us and them. We are IP, we are not IP, we are IP, we are not IP. We can't be half pregnant to this one and speak from both sides of our mouth. That is what is causing the confusion in this particular matter. Let me get a response to, so we can get this timeline and go to the person.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. You see, the heat comes consequentially. We have a meeting. We have a record of a meeting. And in terms of the record of the meeting, there's nothing that holds that temporal settlement except for what has been asked for by the minister in the settlement. Nothing else. So our assumption and response is based on the surprise. Why then? Why then after such a meeting? But Honorable Mazambane is correct. Honorable, yes.
Yeah,
Honorable is correct. Work has continued. People have been resettled. What is it now? Why? So squarely, what has been the issue with that resettlement? The city, which is part of these processes, must then turn the sword, the spear, unto it. That no. If ever we would have had to do this, this was indeed better, so that whatever ought to happen appropriately should follow suit. It should never have been that we should rush through the issuance of someone's threatening individuals, because the entirety of such a reaction stalls the process, which has never been there. But thanks to PRASA for the movement shown, thanks to parties involved, the Department of Human Settlement, thanks to the city itself to allow the process to continue. Unfortunately, to their sleep, to get back into storing the process. But let's say, even if there would have been a call, there ought to have been correspondence to yourself, Chair, in terms of the committee which took that decision, just to notify us that there are these hurdles which ought to be somewhat. In absence of that, it's not to honor the process. So that's why we are somewhat
heating up a little. But thanks to Mazama, I think Mazama, your maturity on the matter is fine. Let's indeed say to what is happening now.
Okay, you'll do your romance at the end of the term, and can we get a response on the issue that was raised by the deputy mayor? Because my assessment, if somebody was called in the, with communication is multiple facets, right? That person, I can say, then would have been the one derailing the process. That's why I want to go there. So can I just ask that we get a response, and then I'll come to Honorable Hadden and Honorable. Let's get that.
Did you receive any correspondence?
No, I did not receive any correspondence. Deputy Mayor?
Yes.
Chair, thank you. I've managed to secure the information that you required me to secure. And I'm actually quite relieved because I've got a new phone, but it's still on my history. So on the 18th of December, I personally called Mr. Ngwako Makipi, I hope I'm pronouncing that correct. And I've also asked Ms. Pila Masiela from the City Manager's Office to also reach out to the colleagues, and she reached out on the 19th of December and spoke to Mr. Yaku Kipudu and Mosel Nsiki on the 19th of December, and also she confirmed that HDA was invited to those meetings, Chairperson.
The technology has not arrived at the point of picking up this curriculum. I think that's the next phase of it. I would have loved to get that designation across to you, right? So that's the timeline. Calls were made on the 18th and the 19th of December. City Manager's Office, HDA invited to the meeting. Honorable Hatton, an honorable man. And then we get a reaction and a response to this side. Maybe they could just make one disclaimer so that people don't get lost. The fact that work has been done, we don't take away from that.
Yes.
We are not here we are here to make sure that this matter arrives at a logical conclusion. Because if we sit here, yes, I thank you, Madam Chair, for the compliment and the comment about the committee. I'm one who does not praise the fish for students. So, yes, we're done. Let's deal with the substantive issues which may pose a threat and a risk to the holistic attainment of the overall outcomes that we want. So again, we've noted that work is done. Sharp. Where are the problems? Honorable Hatton.
Thank you, Chair. The fact that work is happening, but when we're in a meeting and we're told there's unlawful conduct taking place, we can't keep quiet and say, well, things have happened.
That's why I'm saying that's the issue.
Yes, I'm trying to explain why this is important and it ought to be addressed. We're told there's unlawful conduct. What we're not told as stakeholders under one implementation protocol, what have you done to regularize or condone to show that indeed you are commitment to the cause. Now we're told they became aware on the 18th of December 2023. And that's not the only time they became aware. We have held two meetings where they've made undertaking. The last one was in October. So it's not accurate and correct to say immediately when we became aware we made a call. The call was made on the 18th of December. They knew long time ago. Hence, they've made an undertaking to supply basic services to the site. They even made a commitment that they support Operation Bekele. That is why, Chair, this does not augur well with us and we view it as a delaying tactic. If they only became aware on the 18th, it would have been something else. And fortunately enough, the official that was here, Pilar, my friend, I know her because we studied together. So she was also part of the meeting. She is aware. She was part of those two meetings we held. Why only on the 18th, Chair? And why are we not told of the process that subsequently ensued to condone what is perceived as unlawful conduct, if indeed they are committed to this? Why go as far as threatening people with jail a term of 20 years if you are part of the entire process? It does not give a sense of ownership. It's as if we are waiting with the red pen for any mistakes, and then we're going to catch you right on your tracks. They are not demonstrating being part and parcel of the team. They're not demonstrating a willingness to solve issues and matters before they arrive at the point where people will be threatened with jail terms. And this is not for the first time. Even when PRASA submitted the application in our last meeting, 2 months down the line, PRASA was told, no, you submitted a wrong application. So there are events that clearly demonstrate the unwillingness to assist. I even asked in the last meeting, why wait for 2 months to tell PRASA that you've submitted a wrong application when you are part and parcel of the implementation protocol? Why didn't you assist them in submitting the correct application? Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Deputy Mayor, just note those issues. I saw your hand, I noted you. Honorable Mente, and then I'm going to come to this. I was going to conclude with the colleagues. I'll move to the last one on this one.
Okay. Now, Chair, Uha Debe asked mostly of what I was going to ask. Besides the two meetings, in fact not two, because there was a time we even had physical oversight on the railway, which was preceded by a meeting before we went to the oversight. That makes it four scope meetings. Then they have their own interactions separated for their progress report and our progress. In those meetings, they have laid rules on how to go about this emergency project and how to finance it and all of that. City of Cape Town has been there. City of Cape Town knows what's required in order to acquire any land. To be told today that there's an illegal land use of people that have been already in the piece of land, you know, what does that do? It says to the people, you may be moved any time by us. The court can issue an interdict to say you are actually sitting on a wetland, it's not rezoned properly. You will be removed. And this is a temporal arrangement. It was known it was a temporal arrangement. I don't know how the zoning laws then work when it's a temporal arrangement. You are going to rezone, take a process of 2 years, going through public participation, everything, rezoning the piece of land, and in 2 years' time, human settlement says, no, we're done, we're already removing you. I don't know what purpose does it serve to go through that process when you know this is just a temporal arrangement, which is not supposed to exceed a certain time limit in terms of the settlement of those people. But the question that still remains, and the deputy mayor did not answer, are they on board on this or are they not? Because if they are, they cannot, what Adibo was asking, they cannot allow the process to be at an advanced stage, knowing very well that there is a step that was missed. If there's a step that was missed in that particular arrangement, they speak to each other. To say I've spoken to a certain official, when there is official meetings that get held all the time, that on its own is very problematic. You are sabotaging the process somehow. You can't then, after having, everyone has an opportunity, and I hope that's how it's done, has an opportunity to contribute to the agenda of this steering committee. It's not an agenda of someone. It's not an agenda of human development. It's not an agenda of traffic, of transport. It's an agenda of everyone. And even on the meeting, you table the agenda and say, any additions. There's any additions, the person goes to the meeting, gets keep quiet, then calls an official later, and then you want to tell us that we must sit here and dignify such process. No, that's nonsensical. That's a sabotage. We'll go to the office and then we'll call some official. It doesn't matter which official was called. You can't be called outside the meeting because even that particular item must go and be officiated in the meeting, endorsed and adopted. Then it becomes a resolution of everyone. You can't call someone to take a decision of a matter that's so much, very much important. And there's no official that can take that decision alone. That decision must be taken in a meeting. So what the deputy mayor is saying is neither here nor there. It's a sabotage. Are these people going to work with us or are they going to halt us? Because if we're sitting with already threats that you may be facing, jail time and then some 800,000 to pay, where do we get it from when we need to relocate people? Unless the serious Jefferson. That question also you ask them, you are just being fair. They don't need to tell us those are the things they were supposed to say in the meeting. Why they didn't say it in the meeting? Thank you.
Thanks, Chair, and good morning to honourable members, Deputy Minister and the Deputy Mayor. Chair, I think I thought very important that I respond to the issue mentioned on the call. I think around early December.
The call made to you?
Yes, I want to confirm that the Deputy Mayor did call. Around the early December, I think around the 17th, 18th, there was a video circulating of some mayor or councillor about the relocation of the people at Stock Room. And I think that's what started the issue. Because at that time we were aware that we are moving and we are moving the people. Then we got some couple of media inquiries on that matter. And then the video was circulated by colleagues from ADA. And then the deputy mayor did call and asked about the stock road issue. Was there an application submitted in terms of the people being moved? Which in my capacity as the chairperson of the PMC, which is the project management committee, I did respond that we are not aware that there was a need for that application in line with the discussion that we have had at PMC. And I actually even gave feedback to the PMC meeting, which we have held with the colleagues, which I chair. And then we had colleagues from the city. We raised the issue that, and Mr. Masego even put the map to explain how we have engaged with the issues of the relocation. And our focus really at that time in the PMC meeting was to then say, how do we then correct that situation? And the undertaking we got in that meeting from the city that if there is a compilation of correcting that what was raised by the city, that fine wouldn't really survive. It's a standard fine they normally issue in terms of that particular issue. So at a PMC level, Chair, that's how we have dealt with the matter. Thanks.
I just want to say the following so that you can proceed on this matter. On the 5th of July, when we met, if I was reading our notes, colleagues that have been going to your preparation, the committee said the following. We call for a commitment from the stakeholders that they work within the confines of the law and fulfill their mandate in the sphere of government to ensure a long-term solution of Sri Lanka. The stakeholders are signatories to the IP, which binds them I really want to say, let's not deal with this matter ad hoc as if there's no... Because for me, the IP is an ITR protocol. Let me just ask this question. How many times has the steering committee met? Are you actually meeting on this matter? How many you are? Corresponding, email, phone calls, WhatsApp, a meeting taking place. Because it cannot be that you would say you are not aware of the application, because in a meeting you should have been made aware. See? So I think let's get that. Are you meeting? There's a hand there. Can that gentleman be afforded a mic and introduce himself?
Good morning, Chair, and good morning to everybody around the table. My name is Jaco Kibiro, the program manager for the recovery program in Prasa.
Can you use your shop steward voice into this new technological system? Difficult this side.
Yes. Apologies, Chair. Again, Jaco Kibiro, the program manager for the recovery program for Prasa and the Western Cape. I think I just wanted to give some clarity around the issue on the table that's being discussed and add some dates and tell you exactly what transpired, Chairperson, if you allow me that opportunity. I think the DGG correctly when he said this thing started the 18th of December when there was a video circulating by the Council of Missiles Plain, which raised the issue around was the land use application process followed. Subsequent to that, Chair, on the 19th of December, while we were busy in Operation Bekela on site, myself, I was on site with a couple of my previous colleagues. There was colleagues from the City of Cape Town, the land use department that approached us, that said what we are busy doing is illegally, that we are busy with land grabbing. I subsequently refused to sign the letter because the letter stated various things which I refused to sign. At that point, I asked the gentleman, and I can't remember his name now, if should I sign this, I'm admitting a mission of guilt, which I refused to sign. Mm-hmm. Subsequent to that, on the 20th of December, Ms. Pila, who was also previously part of SCOPA and is part of the PMC meetings, called a meeting. Mm-hmm. And that's why I felt the need to raise this now, Chair. Because in the meeting, I raised the question to her to say, the only reason why we are calling this meeting is because of the video that was circulated. And she acknowledged that, Chair. And I still remember that I asked her to say, is this meeting recorded? Because I was not happy at that particular point in time. We then agreed that, yes, there should be a land use application process followed, which I said, that's fine, we will follow the process as per the city's bylaws and all of those things. Then the following day we had another meeting on the 21st of December. In this particular meeting the issue of the penalty came up, that we as Prasa need to first acknowledge, sign this document, and then the watered down process can be followed, which I then again refused to say, then if this is the process we are following, then I'm excusing you from this meeting. Because remember, all along, in all of the PMC meetings, in all of the SCOPA the meetings we had, everybody was involved. And at no point, I made it very, very clear to say, at no point did you stop us to say, hey, Prasa, you need to follow this process. Remember, and I made it very clear to the lady in the meeting, I'm not the expert on your bylaws, and that's why you're part of the signature of the IP, which means you're supposed to guide me, to say you need to go left or right, or whichever way you go. And that was not made clear to us. I then said, look, if this is the purpose of the meeting, then I'm excusing myself. I'm immediately then obviously informed my superiors to say, look, this is what's coming, and that's where the 800 or 20 years in jail is coming from. To say, if you're not following this process, unfortunately, you are guilty to this thing. And I kept on raising this thing to say, but yes, maybe it was a bit, and I'll say it, Chair, a bit naughty on my side, because from there, I avoided the city of Cape Town. Because this thing kept on coming up. We proceeded to Operation Bekela. We finished around about the end of January to complete the whole process with this thing hanging over our head to say, if you continue on this part, you'll be liable to a fine or in court. Which obviously, as I raised with my superior, which is my group CEO, and I informed him, but it's obviously subsequent to that, there was letters and things sent to us which I said, look, it's out of my scope now, it needs to go higher. So I was just trying to outline the process, Chairperson, because I felt the need to make that very clear. Because all along, even outside of SCOPA, outside of PMC, I met PILA. I met the PILA in the City of Cape Town's offices, where we discussed the process. And not once did this issue of the land use application policy come up. Not once was it raised to say, hey, Prasa, you need to follow this process now. I met them. And I just felt the need to clarify that so that we're all on the same page, Chairperson. Thank you for the opportunity, Chair.
I feel that you should have spoken sooner. Yeah. Okay. So that's where. Yes, did you do?
Yeah, I wanted to confirm that we do meet as a collective. We meet at two levels, which is a project management committee meeting where we deal with operational matters and everything is raised at that level, and then we do report to our principals at DG and CO level, which is the IP, and the last meeting that was held at IP steering committee was yesterday, which is chaired by the DG Transport. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Well, it provides the clarity needed on the data. And that's why I was saying, you are in this arrangement for quite a while. I've never been married, but I'm told that there's good days and bad days. And it's communication, I'm told, that sustains marriages. And I get a sense here that there's a missing link in this. And that link for me is the absence of the commitment to the commitment. It's not there. And it's not right to do that, because I think Honorable Neto made the point that you are giving uncertainty to the affected people if we are going to do what my political science lecturer used to call politricking. Too much politics here. There can't be gotcha moments in this. Because what it does is it eats away at the focus on the good work that Umazamban has been talking about. You see, when we were coming here this morning, we were all very happy. Work is being done. Right? So we came here with a positive outlook. But that positivity gets eaten away when we then look close and find out, oh, there's issues. What's the next stumbling block? Why is there no checklist which is for you to achieve this particular objective? This is what you need to do, including a land use application, so that we do it together. It's the one time, and I want to prevail on the city of Cape Town, and Ken specifically, but all of you generally. In a funny way, city of Cape Town, you are applying to yourselves for making sense. You must process the application, but technically and otherwise, you are part of the application as part of this specific project. And I know it may be a very peculiar arrangement, but there's a broader national question, and that question is the functionality of the railway line. Does it constitute an emergency? We can have that debate until the cows come home. But what is not in dispute is that the settlements on the railway line are irregular and illegal, and they must be dealt with.
And in a way, it puts it in a different category of settlements that are there, including to the growing settlements at Acacia Park outside the parliamentary village and the military base. And it's still, the poll is still in process, court on this one, pursuing those directors of the board who took the decision to cancel the security contract which landed us where we are. I hope there's progress on that. Because we have said that those people must be declared delinquent directors if you look at the cost in which their actions have cost the state. An absence of consequence management on the part of PRAS on that particular one, Madam Chair, is a dereliction of duty on your part. You would, by turning a blind eye to it, you would be condoning that action. You need to regularize that situation by going after those people. It is a non-negotiable. Because we are in this mess because of that decision. So DM Transport, I really do believe that this matter is not just about the settlement. It's about the decisions taken in the boardroom which gave birth to what transpired and the cost and why we are here today. And it's to the benefit of everybody, including the city. You know, the painful part about this is that lives were lost. That's the painful part. And so that should motivate us to say prevention is better than cure. Let's prevent further loss of life from this. Because you need to give certainty to the people you have relocated and give confidence that the final situation will arise. Now, this ad hoc nature of communication and thing is not right. It's not right. I wanted to suggest, colleague, that on the 20th of March, looking at the program here in the morning, because we don't have oversight days, but we've got committee days. Because there's questions in the afternoon on that day, so I think it's the economics cluster. Let me go to the central and Stockholm and so on to make an application. I hope that it's a day that will work. Because it's a committee day, and we've not slotted anything in on that day, so that we can round up and round off on this matter. My final point is this one, and Honorable, I will come to you. This IP meeting that set yesterday, did it deal with this matter of the contravention notice? And if you did, what was the outcome? And if you didn't, why didn't you? Because it's the only matter that is in the report. Let me put it another way. Is the contravention notice still on the table? Is the threat of the 800,000 rand fine still on the table? Is the threat of imprisonment still on the table? Because if that's the case, then I put it to you that you are all failing. Because if you met yesterday, or maybe even after this, I'm not sure if there was another meeting before this. Have you dealt with this? And if you haven't, why haven't you done so? Because the comment the gentleman makes to say that it's good that he prefaces it with an admission which he was naughty, to say he's avoiding the city of Cape Town. Well, it might work, but it ultimately it doesn't work. Because you have to resolve this thing. And I just think this is just basic management. And I don't think it's something that we at the level of this committee should really be dealing with to the extent to which we are. It's elementary. But it's almost a three bullet point thing in your presentation saying to me, it's serious. So, you met yesterday. Did you deal with it? So it's good and all to lament here and complain. Did you meet DG, Human Settlements, and I'll come to you, DDG?
Thank you, Chair. The matter was not addressed in the manner that you are asking, Chair. The issue is that the threat remains on the table, and that is why the matter is in the report that we have put. However, earlier, I think the city's approach has been somewhat a bit altered. Earlier, it was a prerequisite that we acknowledge, sign, and accept the fine in order for us to proceed with regularization. And that has been a bit of a stumbling block. But now the city has shifted. It has allowed that the application for regularization go ahead, but the threat has not necessarily been formally withdrawn. So we are focused on keeping our eye on the ball in as far as lodging the application that is being required. And what we have discussed and agreed to is the support the city will lend to us in ensuring that we are compliant. And this is what came out of yesterday's meeting. We have also agreed in the meeting that PRASA would be the one that would lodge the application for this purpose, because the site is actually on PRASA's land as it is now, and also that the location is where they are, and even their further expansion is still within the rail reserve. So we have agreed as such, and that is the process that now follows. Are we in the position ourselves to say that this threat must be withdrawn? Yes, we have done so as a committee to say this threat must be done. But it ultimately rests with one of our partners in the IP, in the city itself, to formally withdraw the threat. I think that is the issue as it is. But we are spinning ahead now with the lodging of the necessary applications to regularize the matter.
DJ?
No,
Deputy Mayor?
Chair, thank you so much. Thank you for your carefully considered remarks. Chair, but my sincerest appeal would be to all the IP partners. Our use of language is important to how we communicate a particular matter. When we use the word threat, it puts the matter in a different context entirely. It is a notice that was issued. So I think it's important that what language we use and how we communicate, respond to the committee and to each other is really, really important, Chairperson. Two speakers mentioned that the response, the notice was, as a standard response is issued. I would ask and go as far as saying that as the applicant that is required, and there'll be questions around what penalties, that's the standard process to regularize. But I want to assure the applicant that the process will take all of it into consideration, and the MPT or the appeals authority has the delegated authority to waive it. So I hope that calms any of the nerves, and that we don't use threats of imprisonment or all of that, because it definitely sets a different tone for this very important discussion, Chairperson. Chair, if I've not been clear in my response previously to the Honourable Member, are we committed to the IP? Let me then emphasize again, yes. Yeah, we are. With regards to the, again, there was a word used earlier, and if I recall correctly, the threat of moving off people off the site. That's something to happen. No one's going to be moved off Stockrad site anytime soon. So it's important that we don't use language that sets a tone different direction, but and focus on what is before us. There's a settlement. The city is delivering services as required as with IP. We're now saying there's a land use irregularity that we need to fix, and an application is required to fix that, because we, all of us in this room, particularly this committee, understands and appreciates that this constitutional democracy, one of the core tenets of this constitutional democracy, is to respect the rule of law. And often we can't just overlay a legal response between a contextuality in this context. But we are saying we are holding hands. Submit the application and you will be surprised at the outcome on the other side. Chair, and I don't know if it's appropriate, but I'm going to make this request to you, Chair, and you can decide as a chair and a committee how you would like to consider the request. If the committee has spare capacity, perhaps deploy members of this committee to all of those meetings. Because I sit here and I hear the feedback that is given in certain principles, I hear the feedback that is given to me, and I think the best way to resolve it, perhaps with the spare capacity, to actually deploy a committee member to those meetings and you can see for yourself. Because this issue of was the planning application process, was it clarified, was it informed, we have a different view, but I don't think we're going to resolve a particular issue here today. But the best way that you can resolve is to see for yourself as a member of this very important committee and attend those meetings and see if it convenes, what was discussed, when it is cancelled, why it was cancelled, or whatever the reasons may be. Just I respectfully table my inappropriate or appropriate suggestions to the committee. But those are just some remarks to that chair. So just to respond to the clarity sought there. Thank you, Chair.
No, we're not free to come to your meeting. I get where you're coming from, Deputy Mayor, but I think we also have a duty to stay in our lane and maintain the checks and balances of the separation of powers, functions and responsibilities. It would be a major indictment that you want to be babysat. Do what you have committed to do in the implementation protocol and adhere to the dispute resolution mechanisms provided in the protocol. And I think, colleagues, it's unfortunate, of course, some of us, our contracts, not all of us actually, our contracts are ending. We are auditioning and to come back. But what I can assure you of is that as we conclude the term of this parliament, PRASA is going to be a key feature of the legacy report. Because when parliament introduced it, it became largely a very administrative and technical. I'm going to make it a point that the political aspects and the material aspects of PRASA are not lost, so that the committee that will be coming in the 7th Parliament will have a full view of what we dealt with, how we dealt with it. Because, colleagues, you'll remember that when we started out in 2019, the first culprit, first one, was her. Madam Chair, we were not there at the time. There was an interim board. And we had a hearing. Honourable Member, you were there. Epsu. And we were having a hearing. And it transpired that we had not adopted minutes for like 100,000 meetings. It was not done, a basic compliance of the board. And then we asked, do you have matters arising? And it was sort of like, yes, no, maybe, kind of like, interim. Minister was seated to my right at the time, and I turned to him and said, Minister, this board has got to go. 3 days later, that board was gone. So why I'm raising this is that PRASA has been a permanent feature of this committee from our start and quite clearly to our end. Madam Chair, Deputy Minister, that should tell you something. You can't be a permanent feature of a parliamentary committee of this nature for the full duration of its term. That at every material point,
you have to be here. So it's something to reflect on. What is it that is still not happening at Transnet? See, what does speak? So I'm just giving that background, which we've traversed a long route with us, and there have been many successes, but unfortunately for us in this committee, we're always doing the post-mortem. So the post-mortem is quite frankly not an eventuality of success. So all the successes get parked on one side, and we go to the new challenges as they arise. I hope what it does is that it does demonstrate the Deputy Minister, and I think this can be elevated to get the strategic importance of PRASA in the greater scheme of things, if we are focusing on it to the extent to which we are. So let's get it right. And that is the clear and call I'm making to everybody.
No, we'll have them. No, thanks. I think we've dealt with this matter thoroughly. It would have been nice to also get a commitment from the city that they are prepared to assist in condoning and regularizing instead of being applied. We'll be surprised what you get. That's not giving us assurance that they are also committed. We would have loved to hear that. But I want us to chair to proceed. I think the matter has been thoroughly elevated, and the facts have been put before us in this meeting. And also to say we are not doing it to get votes, Chair. The lives of people of Lama, Nyanga, Gugule, Kaili, Jamichas, Blaine matters to us. It's not votes that matter to us. And the lives that we've lost matters to us. So we're doing it to ensure that people get the service they deserve. I would like to propose, Chair, that since we're given the date of, I think it's the end of March, to get the train running, let our oversight coincide with that milestone projection.
It will not be possible because we've not received the second chance framework. So if it's end of March.
So I want us to give them sufficient time. So
we can't at this point give a date. We don't have that framework. Parliament is only taking us up to the Easter weekend, which is end of March.
Mm.
I don't know what comes after that, but the Chief Whips Forum and Programming Committee will decide. Was as we had last week, the Secretary to Parliament giving now sort of the end of term protocols and shutting down. We have to do the legacy report. It has to be adopted and go to the House. We are just pressed for time. So I suggest that we proceed to go, and even if we then make it a two-legged or two-pronged, let's go and see this issue of settlement.
Not sure.
If it arises, which an opportunity
we can work around that. We'll do the political persuasion outside this meeting in order for us to ensure that we deal with this matter. I've got a few questions that I wanted to get clarity on. Let me start with the issue of objections received and responses to the objections, given that we have multi-stakeholders into this process. Is it only the responsibility of PRASA to respond to those objections? Are you getting support from the city? Are they also giving advice on how to deal with those cities, I mean with those objections, or is it in line with the implementation protocol and the bylaws that are governing the city that it's only your responsibility as such, you don't need assistance from other stakeholders I would have loved a situation where you at least give them the expertise and the knowledge of dealing with these issues. Perhaps the city would come in handy in advising you and assisting you in this regard. But I don't want to push too much and have something that is not within their scope of work, but it would have been nice if they were to assist in that regard. There was also an issue, Chair, about challenges with stakeholders. Okay, I think it's slides. What's the number? It says we have met challenges at Philippi train station from community business forums and what development forums. Are those challenges still there, or have you addressed all those challenges as outlined on slide 2, the central line recovery update? The issue of fencing, just like to get clarity, you said on your first slide, Operation Bagella highlights, are you referring to the site at Stockholm that is fenced, or is it the vacant site where you have removed people? Is that site fenced, and is there security to ensure that no one else occupies the site? If I can just get clarity on which site is it fenced. If the Philippi site is not fenced, are there any measures in place to ensure that there are no further occupation on that site? With the hope that the fencing is referring to the Philippi site. I think this last question has been answered in terms of the 800 fine. I am done on my side. I would have loved to get an update on that section 68, public participation, and get a sense whether or not all parties are assisting to expedite that application. Thank you so much, Chair.
Chairman, thank you. You know, as I said earlier, a lot of work's been done, progress has been made, and the question then is, since we started the rehabilitation, what level of vandalism has since occurred? What losses have we seen? Is the security operation 100% successful, and if not, are we seeing vandalism continuing, given that, especially the Khayelitsha end, working backwards, there are no trains running. And so there's no, if you're trying to steal a railway line, you don't have to watch for the next train to come and knock you over, or someone to see you. So I'd be interested to see how that is, because what we don't want is to spin villages around and then have to redo it again. And the rehabilitation of the signalling, is that taking place at the same time, or are we still running at snail's pace for trains? Because I think if we're going to get the service up and running properly, it's not just the railway. And then, Mr. Chairman, this thing is major, major cost. What budget is there to be able to finish? Let's just talk about the central line. Is the budget available to do everything that's required there? And if not, what are the kind of things that are not going to happen, because there was no bailout for France in this last week's budget. You guys are going to have to do it on your own. So those are my three things. Extent of continued vandalism, how is signalling equipment and infrastructure going, and money, is there enough to finish and get that line running? Trains must run at, I don't know what speed, but 40 years ago when I was a student in Britain, trains were running at 120 miles an hour. It was called the 120 to London to Scotland or whatever it was. I doubt that you can get our lines running at that sort of speed, but certainly not at the 20, 30 kilometers an hour that I think they may be running at now. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
That's Honourable Mentor Bamba. Honourable Mentor Bamba.
Thank you, Chair. The first thing, Chair, you have highlighted this earlier on, I think within your opening remarks, the issue of security in the press line. With everything being fair, this was started by the lack of security and whatever that decision that was taken. But since then, what is the status of securing the line? How can we be sure that after all this hard work, we're not going to go back and we're not going to allow a situation where not necessarily people misusing the system, but how are we going to make sure that we have proper personnel that is facilitating this entire process? My question is along the lines of procurement of everything that's necessary, because one of the major issues that we deal with here is ensuring that whatever you have been allocated within the public space is utilized accordingly, and we are not going to have comeback. That's one, because my fear is we don't want to impose the live audit on the money that is allocated in order for it to serve the purpose it's allocated for, but we want to understand, are there any measures that are put in place in order to curb whatever malfeasance that can come with that? One day, that was just for PRASA, but to human settlement, there's an interesting scenario that you're painted, especially as an alternative if the rezoning doesn't succeed, in even your submissions do not succeed, then you will deal with the issues of expropriation, but we all know that that law is not explicit, and you have already made a confession that it also can be challenged in court, and you're anticipating that there will be those court challenges. But I want to understand the capacity of human settlements. Because if we had to need extension for just responding to objections, dealing with the issues of expropriation of land where the law is not explicit, where anyone, if they don't want to, they will not give it to you. Do we have capacity to deal with such? Because this, what we are fighting for here, is temporal. And we don't want to keep our people for years and years on end because there is no land. And then number two is, from your side as human settlement, do you have an engagement with the public works to understand if they do not have law in their exposure that they can allocate to you in order for you to start the process of ensuring that the dignity of our people is not in any way hampered. The last one is with the meeting that we are all sitting, and all these shortfalls which we are encountering, one of them being the issue we're dealing with of the city of Cape Town. Given what the minister was stressing in the last meeting, that until all the processes are properly followed, she will not give support in a relocation of people, in particular securing the land, starting the process of building, and the entity to take over. How are we doing in that aspect at this moment? Thank you, Chair.
All right, let's get responses to that. And you're beginning any question, all right?
Yeah. No, I wanted to say, Chair, that the issue, I fully support the issue of expropriation without compensation. If everything else fails, please expedite the issue of expropriation without compensation. In fact, any suitable vacant and abandoned land in the city that can be utilized for our people, please expropriate. Let's cut it much. Thank you.
Coming to the hospital.
Let's get responses to those issues that have been raised. We will see amongst yourselves. Honorable Mentum Chopo. Okay, start you.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry. Chair, to start with some of the questions, and I'll get my colleagues to chip in on one or two of the issues. Starting with Honorable Hajebe, the matter around Philippi Station, there were initially delays that we experienced. That matter has been addressed. The contractor is back on site. But I think it's one of those areas you need day-to-day management of the stakeholder engagement community issues on site. Hence, the stakeholder engagement department is on top of this on a daily basis. And there are challenges, but that issue has been resolved. The contract is back on site. We have lost time, and we're trying to make up on time on some of those that lost time. I skipped your first question on the objections, so I'll get HGA and Human Settlements to speak in more detail on that. The second question was around the fencing and walling. I think let me just respond so that I think we understand all the different initiatives we are dealing with. The first one was the Bakela site was fenced. That's where we relocated to Stock Road. That site was fenced to ensure that it's protected and so forth. But the fencing that you referred to in the presentation was the walling and fencing of the corridor. We want to secure the corridor. And it speaks also to the security approach. I think my colleague, head of security, will speak to our security interventions. But one of the key asset protection infrastructure interventions is the walling and fencing that we will be implementing. We have awarded three of those packages. There are still two packages that need to be awarded as part of that program. But importantly, that high-risk area, which includes that section between Nyanga and Philippi, it's already awarded. And then we're looking at the concrete walls that will be placed in that vicinity. We're also working with a team that where we've identified the high-risk areas, we've got a different walling solution based to the low-risk areas. So that is rolling out. Now, over and above that, the Bukela site and the walling and fencing packages, the section between Nyanga and Philippi, where we've relocated those settlements to Stock Road, we are putting up temporary fencing there for two reasons. One is obviously to protect the construction sites where the construction activities will occur, but secondly, also you don't have a re-influx of the invasion of the land. So there will be temporary fencing in that area until that other wall, until the next walling package is awarded to deal with that. Now, critical for that section, I mean, familiar with the area there, we need to get the long-term relocation to happen. Because we're very difficult to put in the walling solution when you still got the illegal occupation of the reserve. Because if you put some of the concrete wall, then you still got you were boxing them in, so to speak. So the long-term relocation is critical, not only to move the temporary site, but to do the walling packages. The final positioning of that, we need to get that done. So that's from a walling and fencing. Obviously, we've got station project running. At the stations, you'll see the fencing walling going up as part of that project as well. Honorable Lee, moving on to your question, and again, the security. I think just, and my colleague will come in to speak about our intervention. Honorable Mentor, you asked about security as well. I've touched on the infrastructure side. Alice will deal with our interventions that we're dealing with in central line. But I wanted to make this comment, Honorable Lee, that our integrated security strategy and plan has realized tangible results. And this is not just on central line, it is nationally. We've seen incidents being reduced by 75% in terms of theft and vandalism. I think Alex will speak in more detail to that, but the intervention of physical boots on the ground, where we want to roll out technology, plus the infrastructure interventions, is reaping fruit in terms of the stuff that we are rolling out. But I think it touches on nicely to the next point that you are raising about budget availability. Because yes, certainly the project we were awarded for Central Line, the budget is there. These are committed budgets, whether it's the OHDE, the Fairway, and so forth, it is there. We are dealing with it. I know you use the term bailout on the release. We actually don't use that term at CROSS. because it's not a bailout. In terms of that shortage of funding, it's a bridging finance that CROSS requires. But we'll come to that in terms of... So I think bailout comes with another connotation. It's not a bailout that we are referring to. But we are correct, and it's important, is the budget cut that I think we've seen across the board, including with CROSSA, is going to have a significant impact on CROSSA's recovery and rebuild program nationally. Because last year, and this year now, CROSSA has demonstrated that we are executing our capital program. For the first time, last year we spent our capital budget. 12.6 billion, we spent 13.6 billion last year. This year, as at the end of December, we've already exceeded our capital allocation. Come by the end of the March, we can exceed it significantly. And that is because we are recovering and rebuilding, getting the railway system operational. With the budget cuts, and we're having discussions with the various treasury and obviously our shareholders that are supporting us. It is going to have an impact. And I'm mentioning it because at some point when we come back discussing it more broadly around the programs, the capital allocation, this is a concern that we have raised going forward. It's going to have an impact not only on recovery and rebuild, but some of our mega projects, like the new train, Kibela, the production of the new Isitimela Tabantu train, will have an impact, the modernization program and so forth. So going forward, the team is relooking at what is possible from a rollout from a recovery, modernization, and mega project based on the budget. I just want to use the opportunity to share a bit more around the impact. But on Central Line, where we've made awards, those budgets are committed to those projects. Okay? And linked with that, Honorable Lee, is the issue of signaling. The award has been made, the project is running. Already from Cape Town to Langa, we should have it completed in April. We are looking at the corridors completed by the end of this year. This is Central Line. We've completed the signaling on Southern Suburbs Line, and we're busy with tenders for the rest of the network. So Central Line, the work is happening, as I've showed in the photographs. It's not in the planning or design phase, it's in construction. And we're looking at deadlines within this year. to bring back sections of those lines from a signaling point of view. The speed, you are correct, not 120 miles per hour, but the design speed on these networks is 90 kilometers an hour. You are correct, we're operating at 30 on some because of speed restrictions, but with the signaling, with our power intervention, including having made an award for the on-track machine to come and look at the power, that will increase the speed on this corridor. So the plans are in place, awards have been made to address those issues. Honorable Mentor, just in terms of the security, I'll get my colleague to speak to that, but I think your concern is well noted, and I think the board, as part of that process, is around the controls and processes that we put in place to ensure there's not malfeasance around, particularly the spending of the huge capital commitment that we have outside. I think some of our colleagues are now reporting also at PCOT, and I think this year that has passed now, Honourable Mentor, is the first year in 4 years that process moved out of a disclaimer. Just from an AG point of view. So on that point, the controls we're putting in place, making sure our assets are registered, and all of these things we are moving on. The past 4 years of this claim, we've moved out of this claim. And part of that is by putting these processes in place to have the right controls and checks and balances. We're not out of the woods yet, but it's a step in the right direction in terms of achieving some of those things. Maybe Chair, through you, I can ask my colleagues just to address the issue on security in a bit more detail.
Thank you, Chair, Honourable Members, DG, DDGs, and various departments. From a Prasa Protection Services point of view, specifically over the past 2.5 years, as the Group CEO has mentioned, the major strides that were taken and an extreme key element of Prasa Protection Services was the inclusivity of communities and SMMEs that live in and around the rail. So prior to that, the security strategies within Prasa and prior to my time did not have an all-inclusive approach. We then developed an all-inclusive approach which has led to the successes, not only in the Western Cape, but nationally. When one looks at the documented theft and vandalism within all state-owned entities, colleagues would note that Prasa has had a sharp decline of over 75% despite bringing back corridors. So, in fact, you should get an incline. In terms of the theft and vandalism not only has decreased, but the type of vandalism shown in the last 6 months, specifically since the rails have been coming back in corridors, is more malicious. So before peak time, a cable might be cut, which then hampers the service because of that cable cut. No theft. So it's elements on the exterior that is trying to destabilize the operation. However, we are on top of it with the bringing in of technology. Because our infrastructure was vandalized, there was no power, no cabling and all of that. And with the catch up of the rebuild of the infrastructure, we are able now to bring in the technology such as we've done in the Salt River Depot, where we've got seismic sensing, we've got heat sensors that also differentiate between human, animal, all of these advanced analytics. But critical issues in terms of balancing, and I'm happy that the Deputy Mayor actually raised it today, that they will be increasing the water and service delivery. And as an example, last week as well as this morning, in fact, the R300 was closed by the specific residents due to the lack of delivery of water and even the waste. I'm happy now that waste bins will be delivered and water will be increased, because at the moment each family relies on less than 12 litres of water per week, and it's quite difficult for a family of six to actually deal with 12 liters of water. I think in its entirety, besides the flare-ups in terms of various community projects, communities are with us, they're together with us, and them themselves are also monitoring and assisting Prasa Protection Services to deliver on the security which we've been. Thank you, Chair.
DG, my settlement, can you just get the full set of responses?
Thank you very much. Chair, just to indicate that on the issue of raised by Honorable Hadere of the objection, the process, as you may recall, is that after we launched the land use application in August of 2023, public participation process was then run by the city to seek residents' inputs into the proposed settlement of these people where they are. And that public participation process closed on the 27th of November last year. And as I've indicated earlier, over 900 objections were received. Now, in terms of this, the normal period you are allowed to deal with objections is 20 days. It's a short period to deal with it. And I'm also answering what Honorable Mende raised as well as the issue of capacity. So given the fact that it is 20 days, you not only have to sift through the different objections, you've got to cluster them what, which one deals with what and who's opposing for what reasons. And you get those things together and then you start responding to each. Some of the claims being made require you to actually go to the site and look. For instance, people who may argue the impact of traffic and they say this will increase their journey time to work because now more people will be coming on this specific route or that. You've got to go there, do your own impact. Sit there, they count how many cars are passing them, all of those kinds of things. So 20 days, we have felt that for 900 objections, it was insufficient for us with the capacity we currently have to deal with it expeditiously. But what the SDA has since done, and with agreement with Prasa, Prasa appointed the town planning specialist, which we are now working closer with the SDA, and to that extent, some of the key important studies that are there were then undertaken. One needs to also indicate that we were able to finalize all of these issues, and we resubmitted. I must just confirm the exact date. By the 23rd of February, we have responded to the objections and we have given them the responses to the committee to consider. The question was raised by Honorable Khadele whether the city itself was assisting and participating in the rendering of assistance to respond to objections. As the chair indicated, I think in this case, the city finds itself in quite a peculiar situation where the danger now becomes that it cannot be a referee and a player at the same time. And there is a doctrine in law, Memo Udes and the Suakar, which prohibits anyone from being a referee and a player, that you cannot be a judge in your own cause. And therefore, it wasn't opportune, really, for the city to participate in the process and only later to the committee and process give itself a permission or whatever, and should that also not work, it serves as an appeal authority. So I think that the legally speaking, it was quite inopportune for them to participate, and it was expected that they shouldn't, that at least the other partners must actually process same and then lodge. That has happened. What we were raising really was a concern that having done so, and we understand, as the Deputy Mayor has explained, that the committee is chaired by an independent and it should be seen for all practical purposes.
supposed to be operating independently. And therefore our concern was the speed with which now the committee is able to process what we have now given and give us the response so that we obtain the land use approval in this regard. And I think clearly there is no timeline right now, and this is the biggest concern to us, that there is no definitive timeline as to by when we will get a response so that it aids better planning in this regard. So I think that should sufficiently, I believe, answer what Honorable Kadev, as well as part of what Honorable Mente raised. Let me now go quickly to what Honorable Mente raised in as far as the matters are concerned, particularly around the capacity on our part to do expropriation. Well, if you look into the laws that we administer human settlements, there are no enabling provisions for that, but we are the same country, and so those provisions exist in other laws. For roads and other related aspects, the Sambal Act is robust, and I think everyone knows that Sambal has been expropriating land with the determination, its own determination of what is fair compensation all along, and it has been a good model. Now, in as far as this is concerned, we have approached DPWI, and I think it's what Honorable Mente was asking, and there has been discussion. DPWI itself is part of the implementation protocol, and they are quite okay with the issues, and even when the decision was taken that we would seek a route of expropriation, they were in full support. Their minister, in terms of the Expropriation Act, and I'm now talking the old act, the existing, it's a bitter cake for what the modern day debates are about, but for what it was originally intended, we believe that this current situation falls within the provisions of the existing act, and that it could better serve us in this regard to achieve same. Of import in this regard is that DPWI is on board. As I've indicated earlier, we will be relying more on their experience and capacity. They've had recent victories, if you know, that there was a ratepayers association that had told landowners who know that they are on the plotted points of the national grid for distribution of electricity that must come, and for the 90 allocated GPS pointed areas which were owned by public works, the land was readily given, but for the rest of the private owners on the same plotted line, they had initially been negotiating with public works for giving away the land for a fair compensation. But some person went and told them that they actually, if they stand together, the government is in a tight corner, it has no choice. They can actually fetch a top dollar. You know. So as a result, they banded together into some association and wanted to negotiate collectively. When the negotiations were going nowhere, public works decided to opt for expropriation. So this matter had been in and out and been ventilated like that. But finally, the land has now been expropriated. So we are buoyed by this recent decree on the same act, on the same matter for public use and needs. And we think that if we piggyback on it, we will succeed as well in this case, in this regard. And it is for this reason that we are a bit confident. What we should not get wrong, though, is all the steps that I've indicated earlier, we want to keep all the boxes that we don't misstep anywhere. It's a painful, lengthy process that this act requires you, even the notices you must give to the landlord. They are time bound, so you just have to give and wait and hope that they respond, and you can't fast track the process in any way. And I think this is the point we are in. The inadvertent thing, Honorable Mende, is not going to be about capacity. The key issue is going to be about the length of time. So while we had hoped that in the earlier process of negotiation of buying the land, it would have been quicker and our program would have been shortened by acquisition of land in that way. Through expropriation, yes, we will save a lot of money, but it will take us a bit more time. And one of the key steps we are busy with now is that Public Works also has a surveyor general. And we have approached the office to do an assessment of the value of this land, so that that is going to be what is fair compensation for the land. So it will not be determined by other forces or market-related forces, but what the surveyor general indicates needs to be. And so we're still waiting for the valuation as part of the process that we will have to also publish and give notice to the landowner as to what this is about. So I think that is in as far as that is concerned. Then the question was raised about whether the issues Minister of Human Settlement around land acquisitions and the objections you are having, how is it going and have they been addressed? In short, we must differentiate the two land parcels. In as far as the Stock Road CBT land parcel where we are dealing, when Minister was saying, don't remove them off the railway line and then put them in a place that is unsuitable. That part, once it was agreed that the HDA would drive the process, I think the HDA acquitted itself very, very well, because in 2 weeks' time, there was a two-week turnaround time. In 2 weeks' time, it was able to complete its report on the suitability of the land, having done soil studies, completion studies, topography, linings, and all of the studies that were necessary. They worked very hard to get it done and finished immediately. And the determination of suitability of that land was done. Now, the second part is now on the permanent relocation. The three pieces of land we are targeting, the one that we have already bought, the one we are still negotiating, the one we are intending to expropriate. So all of them, of course, the suitability checks go together with the transaction. On the Langa one, before we even concluded the transaction, we had already checked and we found that it is suitable for that purpose and we purchased it. So our concerns are addressed, even on the second one. It is the third one that, because of the non-cooperation, if I put it that way, of the landowner, that even that determination is still to be done. But we are convinced and viewed by the fact that is the same land parcel that has been subdivided. And if all others surrounding it have been determined as suitable, most likely this one will also be found to be. But we will not conclude the transaction nor the expropriation without that determination having been made as part of the process. So I think that is the answer to the question. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. The last one, and then we'll wrap it up.
Thank you, Chair. My follow-up is prompted by the one of the, I suspect, community members that just texted me, Chair. From what Alex has alluded to, apparently R300 is currently closed down. People are protesting about the lack of services. They recall that the city has made an undertaking that they will provide basic services. They are saying currently water is being provided fortnightly and it's 15 liters per household. There is no electricity, no adequate toilets. I'd like to get an understanding from the deputy mayor whether or not it's true that currently the city is providing 15 liters of water per household fortnightly. Whether or not it's accurate that, as things stand, there is no provision of electricity, and how many toilets are on site, given the fact that we've been told that there are about 1,206 people that have been relocated. And if indeed, as the member of the community has alluded to, it's accurate, can the city make an undertaking that they will remedy the situation as per their commitment?
Okay.
Chair. So members of the community are pleading for assistance. I wasn't aware that not all services have been provided.
Chairperson, thank you so much. So the last part of the Honourable Member's clarity point in terms of remedying any anomalies that they observe. So yes, that's why I've made the comment earlier. If there's a concern that the water tankers that are there would not suffice, then we can increase that. I've made that point earlier. I'm just looking at my notes, Chairperson, because I was going to say I can respond in writing, but I didn't want to upset the committee by saying that. So let me just give the information now in the meeting. Chair, so we've got chemical toilets. So there are 60 toilets on site. It's serviced four times a week. And we have sort of a janitorial service that is for 5 days. We also have the container toilets. There are 90 of those. And that's serviced four times a week. And, of course, that includes the janitorial service there, Chairperson. So I can't comment on the amount of liters per person, per household. I mean, you know, the figure varies. Honourable Member now mentioned 1,206. When we started this conversation, there was 891. Then, so it's difficult to confirm. What we can confirm in terms of the increase of the water tankers, that's a commitment that I've made already, Chairperson. I hope that clarifies, Chair.
Electricity?
Oh, electricity. Chairperson, it's a privately owned site. So the service that we are rendering would be on the periphery. Any other infrastructure on the site would be the responsibility of the property owner. So I just wanted to make that point, Chairperson. We, of course, will check how close in terms of connection to that site. I can't often respond to that, but the electricity on private, like we often approach informal settlements where it's not our site, it's extremely difficult to provide electricity to those sites, Chairperson. Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'd gladly take the case that Honourable Member is referring to. We can explore that, Chair. But if it's privately owned, it's extremely difficult for us to comply with the MFMA if the land is privately owned, Chairperson.
With the community protest underway, I'm going to... excuse me, I've been battling a terrible cold, sorry. I'm going to imagine that one or the other, someone will be dispatched there to hear the concerns, and then an engagement must follow. I would imagine that there has to be some proactive intervention of responding to those matters, and I would imagine that given the unique nature of this situation, the stakeholders themselves have got a vested interest in ensuring that those matters are resolved. So I think our expectation, Deputy Mayor, is that the people must be heard and the appropriate interventions must be applied so that we can then proceed with the matters of this speech. And I think Honourable Hateba can share with you the details since he's also receiving information, and it will be helpful then to be able to engage with everybody who is vocal on the matter and is well-versed with information. So that someone would at least to share your former colleague that information.
Can Pastor please also check apply to the city for provision of electricity so that you don't come back and you're told they have not applied? please engage your colleagues, leadership, and see how electricity can be provided. We don't want to interfere.
I'm saying, the stakeholders, they've heard everything. They are there to respond to the situation positively and constructively, given the unique set of circumstances. The Honourable Marcus, very last one.
No, it's on the issue of sanitation, Chair. Deputy Mayor says there's about 60.
60, yeah.
60. There's 60 toilets. Am I correct when you say 60 toilets?
Yeah,
yes. And then there's 1,200 people. Well, I mean households, yeah.
More than the
there's 1,200 households, which makes it each toilet is for like 18 households, and in each household there's no less than 5 people. That means about 850 people are for one toilet. That cannot be human. Do you consider increasing the number of toilets, or is that what you can provide? I just wanted to check that. Maybe that's just a start and there's an addition that's coming up, because we can't live here with such condition and we don't address it. Thank you, Chair.
Precisely why I was speaking about the oversight visit sooner rather than later, for us to get a feel of the situation now from what we saw, so that we can have a keener understanding. I'm just building on your point from an observation point of view that we need to go there. So, Deputy Mayor?
Chair, sorry, I did not follow the calculation. If the Honourable Member could just repeat that amount.
60 toilets, or 1,200 divided by 60 toilets.
50,
80. Yeah, divide by 60, it gives you 20. And then in a household, 20 households for one toilet. And then let's just say in a household there's 4 people.
8.
Yes. Then there's 80 members for each toilet a day. People.
My sense is all of you combined should have determined the norms and standards. What ratios were you working on, and have you arrived at those ratios? What's the roadmap to the arrival of it? Which when the relocation took place, what was placed on the table? Let's get the Deputy Mayor. She's repeated the calculations and I'll come to security.
And on top of that, they are serviced only 4 days a week.
Good. Deputy Mayor?
Chair, so my feedback was 60 plus 90. And also the days they are serviced multiple times a day. I think it's 5 days that I've mentioned that they're serviced. Chair, I forgot to make this point early on. May, through you, Chair, request that the committee secretariat includes me in all correspondence. So I chair the city's internal task team to ensure we fulfill the obligations of the IP. So I know often the mayor is invited, but it'd be useful if you can also include my office in the email correspondence, particularly when you're going on site. I'd gladly join you on site as well, the committee chairperson, if you can include my office in the correspondence. Thank you, Chair. And with regards to the ratios, I didn't offer any of the ratio, but there are norms and standards that would have to comply with, Chair. And if we're not meeting those, we can certainly consider meeting those targets.
Right? Mr. Fluzel has noted that on the communication and correspondence, tentatively the oversight of the 20th of March. Security?
No, thank you, Chair. I think just the Deputy Mayor answered me in terms of there's 90 toilets currently on site. There's 60 that have been promised to be delivered to site. The other thing in terms of the frequency, the toilets are being currently serviced twice a week. The other part is the water. It is twice a week, however, during December months, it's only been once. In fact, sometimes the truck doesn't arrive. And that's why I raised the point in terms of the strike action that happened last week, and in fact, even this morning on the R300. So I'm glad that the commitment has been given that an additional 60 toilets will come, and that the frequency of water, including the frequency of cleaning the toilets, has now been committed by the city. Thank you, Chair.
There's a discrepancy in terms of the numbers we are given. It was the mention of one type of toilets, which is 60, mm-hmm. and the mention of another, which is 90. I know that there's always the assumption that because I'm looking down, I'm not listening. Don't make that mistake. So that for me is 150 toilets. So is it 150 or is it 90? Because there was two sets of types of toilets given. So the other one is four times a week, and the other, yeah. So clarity, please.
As it stands currently, there's 90 toilets on site. The reason why the additional 60 have been committed was from the first protest that happened last week. Thank you, Chair.
So that clarifies it, because I was sitting here and I wanted to correct the government's numbers because I was going through them. Right, Deputy Mayor?
Chair, perhaps I'm not sure if the colleagues are aware who to be contacted in the event a water tanker does not arrive, in the event that any of the toilets are not cleaned. We have multiple problems across quite a few informal settlements where that does happen, and we manage our contacts. We also have supervisors and even community leaders who we then appoint to ensure that the service that we commit to is actually delivered in those settlements. So I will undertake that we will engage with the IP partners, that we give them a contact person who they can contact in the event the water tanker does not arrive on that committed day, in the event that the toilets are not being cleaned on a particular day, Chairperson.
All right.
Always progressive.
I think there's elementary things. Yeah, you see, earlier on we asked about the frequency of meetings, and again it was said that there's a two-tier sort of meeting. There's operational and then reporting to principals. We must not sit here and really go through the basic nuances of the operational stuff. It's elementary. These things should be offhand for anybody and everybody involved. And for me, what comes out is that the state of health of the IP management is problematic. And I want to reiterate, this is a unique circumstance which is responding to a broader national question. Manje, siyabona nje sidlala uAbenzile, there's no 1+1. No. So I just hope that the principals, as well said, have noted that some of the challenges are arising simply because you don't have, I don't know how to put this. This friend with my but you won't give me this must be a cheap and I give it
Like, I'm sitting here listening to this, like, really, can you approve their God? I'm listening here, I'm just thinking, like, should we really be, you know, if we don't take ourselves seriously, for me, this is a high-level conversation that should be having. When you begin to micromanage it, it speaks that there's a problem. And somebody is not doing something somewhere. Shape up or shape out? Honestly speaking. So I want to take this opportunity to... another DG Human Settlement, which is working with culture and law enforcement agencies, how are you going to deal with the prevalence of informal settlements in spaces where, particularly, the removal of people comes at great cost, and the extent to which the obligations the state finds itself. But for me, what I've realized, there's no appetite in government to deal with this. And people, when I raise the Acacia Park mess, I think I'm raising it for myself. No, I'm trying to highlight a problem. We started at Acacia Park with one dwelling outside the parliamentary village. It moved to 5, it moved to 10. There's an entire community there now. It's outside a security place, the parliamentary village. Directly opposite to that settlement is a military base. Soldiers daily in and out. Now, because there's been a crisis, a healthcare crisis, a security crisis, they are next to a railway line. God forbid what happens if a derailment were to ever take place. They are under a bridge. What happens in an accident? They are on a bend, on a curve, of all sorts of driving entities that have been there. And I'm not even a security specialist, and it's just from observation. But we've raised this time and time again. Nothing has happened. 3-4 years down the line, there will be 200 dwellings there, and then the matter will be raised to which this is a security risk, is that it? Then you come to Parliament and you want money to move people? The public says, if you listen to the Minister of Finance very carefully last week, you will know the pie is not growing. We've got a revenue collection shortfall of 56 billion rands. We're tapping into reserves for the first time. We are in dire straits. And sometimes there's a tendency to think that we can throw financial solutions to non-financial problems. It's about management and it's about responsiveness. So I hope that this case, Ya Prasa, is a test case across government on this key critical question of informal settlements and them being in spaces which down the line they are a huge burden and a cost to the state. That's our question here. If there's anybody under any illusion that there's money, they're not living in South Africa. Economic growth has been revised downwards. From whatever material vantage point you look at it, none of us can be happy. We are in trouble. And this profit has come at great cost. Exorbitant amounts of money, which could have been used elsewhere, had the right things been done. And hence I go back, if we don't set an example with consequence management, then it's a free for all. So I hope DM and Deputy Minister Chok support. Proper looks at this and hears it very seriously. Because otherwise we perpetuate the culture of a revolving door, that if you do wrong here, you can go somewhere else. These that is so huge of their decision.
Colleagues, thank you very much for your very robust engagement today. And I think that we have made significant headway. We will go in the 20th and close up on the matter. I want to thank the Deputy Minister of Transport who is here, the DG, and the DG when chairperson of the board, all the board members, Deputy Mayor, to Cape Town and your officials who are here. I'm going to ask the Deputy Minister for any concluding remarks. One announcement on my side. Colleagues, tomorrow we are doing unauthorized expenditure, the final batch, so that we can hand it over to National Treasury and the Standing Committee on Finance. We're meeting virtually to sort that out. There is one that we're not going to deal with, DM Transport. Again, this one's yours, the Road Traffic Management Corporation, because we've not received the information to the extent to which we want, so it will now hang over. I've spoken to the Deputy Director General of Treasury on it, and we will follow up. All the other ones, colleagues, will conclude tomorrow. So the report has been sent. If you've not received it, please follow up so that you can conclude on that portfolio of unauthorized expenditure, some of which dates back to 2006. And I'm glad that you are closing that one. We will only be left with one, and it's not of our own doing. It's the RTMC one, the transport information has not come through. So that will be tomorrow, colleagues. 10 o'clock is going out. I mean, 7:09. Oh, 7:09. It's 10. Okay, 10 o'clock. It's fine. Virtually, on tomorrow on those matches. DM Transport, Mganga Mazamba, over to you.
Thank you very much, Chair. No, thank you very much for your summary. Thank you for the interaction. I do agree with you that if you get seized by one entity over 5 years, which is where I started when I was in the portfolio committee at PRASA also, we had put it on the radar. So it tells you there's something that's fundamentally wrong. But we appreciate the commendation of progress that is being observed. I always personally never want to take the credit of any progress of something that should not have broken in the first place. We should have been saying progress when we put a new railway line for people that don't have anything. But yes, it is progress, nevertheless. I do take note of the action required for those who took that decision. And I think if it cannot happen now, we'll hope and trust that those in the seventh administration will see it through. We have taken note also of your concerns about the work that might not be happening at the lower tier, and the DG, of which is the chair of transport, and that we will raise with him so that there is a proper cleaning process before anything comes to this level. I do also appreciate the comments made by the DG of human settlements regarding the issue of expropriation of land, and I do agree with him. Sandwell is doing expropriation almost regularly, and they've mastered it in our past life within the city of Tswane. We also used to expropriate land without any issues. So I think it's a matter of commitment and will to do this thing, and I'm sure it can be done. But overall, once more, Chair, I hope it's my last appearance at scope of this thing. But thank you very much for the robust engagement, but always giving direction. Because if you look at it, people can criticize and scream, but at the end, Scopa will always say, this is the direction that we want you to go. And I think that has always brought a breath of fresh air in it. Once more, a big thank you, Chairperson, and to my very, very close bosom friend, Mazamba. Thank you for blowing kisses across.
Colleague's speech, quite interesting. We've received a lot of good news over the past 2-3 weeks now.
Mm.
And it's quite nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
cook, but not in reverse. Colleagues, thank you very much. The meeting stands adjourned.